The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 20th day of March, 2015. Let's take a quick look at the numbers. The Dow, the S&P for that matter, is up 20 points. The Dow is up 193. NASDAQ up 42. Crude oil up $2.27. Gold is up $14.10. In Asian markets, the Nikkei was up 83 points, Shanghai was up 35, only the Hang Seng was in the red, down 93. And in European markets, all green again, the DAX up 172, FTSE up 47, CAC 40 up 60. The world is green. My, looks like St. Paddy's Day. Only red on the screen. 10-year note, USD, Japanese yen, currency pair, Hang Seng, and the VIX. Oh, and natural gas. All the bonds are red. 10-year German bonds, Japanese bonds, you name it. They're red. So, what's this all about? Let's take a look. U.S. stocks trading sharply higher today, continuing several days of alternating gains and losses as investors wait a weaker dollar and Greece news amid options expirations. Today is options expiration day. Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Rockwell Global, says, I think the basis of today is the weaker dollar, which is lifting commodities. U.S. dollar edged lower as the euro traded near 108. Oil also gained more than 1%, with crude near $47 a barrel and Brent above 55 a barrel. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield traded near 1.94%. It's a little bit of optimism around Greece. It looks like the talks might have gone slightly better. I remain cautious. The market is somewhat illiquid. It's been a very big week. We had a very big move with the Fed. Earlier in the day, Chancellor Angela Merkel said that Greece would present a list of reforms over the next several days. The European Union held the second day of its summit in Brussels. Analysts also attributed the expiration of options to the surge in trade volume at the open. Dow Jones Industrials gained 200 points or 1%, with Nike leading nearly all blue chips higher. The Nasdaq quickly surpassed the psychologically key level of 5,000 as the biotech stocks traded higher. Apple and Facebook also gained. The S&P 500 traded above 2,100. Now, according to TD Ameritrade, if the S&P can hold 2,100, it will be very, very bullish. He noted that the S&P 500 traded higher this week since it was able to hold above 2,050. Last week, the Russell 2000 continues to trade above Thursday's record close. Atlanta Federal Reserve President Dennis Lockhart said he sees an interest rate liftoff by September. He expects the U.S. Central Bank to raise interest rates at either its June, July, or September policy meeting, barring any significant turndown in the U.S. economy. Fed official Charles Evans will give a speech today, but no major economic reports are due. Nike topped Wall Street's earnings estimates Thursday, but sales figures came in below expectations as it struggled with the negative impacts of the stronger dollar. Tiffany reported sales before the opening bell that showed a 1% drop in quarterly sales, hurt by a stronger dollar and weak demand during the holiday season. And that's the news. That's what they're pointing the fingers at. This is the reason why. There's always a reason. Amazon, oh, this is, in my, where I live, this is big. Amazon received approval from the Federal Aviation Administration to test drones in Washington State. The firm could see some headway on the Prime Air service it would like to offer. So that's what they're going to call it, Prime Air. When you order something, a little drone, you know, now we order it and get it delivered tomorrow, which is pretty cool. Can you imagine ordering it and then you just sit and you wait and pretty soon you see this little drone hovering outside your window and then it lowers, releases, up and away. Huh. That's really something out of the Jetsons, but in Washington State, they're getting ready to test it. You think they'd have picked a place with less trees like Phoenix to test it. But I guess if you can fly a drone in Washington State with all the rain and all the trees, you can fly a drone anywhere. All right. Well, hey, happy Friday to each and every one of you. If you're returning, welcome back. If you're here for the first time, a special welcome to you. We're so glad you've joined us. We're going to move first today to our live trading room results. After that, we'll go to our good word for the day, after that, we'll take a look at some of the overnight alerts, concierge trade alerts. And, of course, we'll speak with our buddy up in Vegas, Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. We'll take your questions, whatever they might be. You'll have access to the chat box. If you do not see the chat box, if you do not see the chart that I'm referring to, which I have up, the S&P 500 E-mini futures, all you have to do is go to the homepage at CFRN.net. On the right-hand side, click the big microphone, follow the instructions, and within 30 seconds, you'll be registered, and you'll be able to see the charts all the way through the end of the month. Come first of next month, we all register again. We take 30 seconds and exchange it for 30 days. Pretty good deal. Michael, good morning to you, sir.
Oh, good morning, Dwayne.
How are you?
I am okay. Okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Got anything you want to talk about before you go do the recap?
Yeah, I do, actually. Reminder to everyone, we are going through the list and
checking it twice.
And we're going to find out. This has been naughty. And you guys are not going to get an email on Monday to get into the live trading room with the weekly trading zones or any of that stuff. All right? So you should have an email in your inbox right now. Not you, Ken. It's just for the people who should be paying who are not paying. You have all gotten an email, or you will have gotten one by the end of the day today, or by Monday anyway. You will have gotten one telling you that you should have been paying. And if you get that email and you ignore it, well, don't send us an email on Monday saying you didn't get your weekly trading zones. Okay, just go to the email and fill it out.
Click the link.
Click the link. It's easy enough to do. It's a simple process. But that's it. That's what I had to say. I don't mean to scold everyone, but
it's very scoldish.
Yeah, we've been going through the list, and yes, it's a big list, sadly. Yeah. So we'll.
You know, most of you guys, we understand you just, we don't send you a notice at the 30-day mark and so, or the 90-day mark, and so you just kind of, you don't think about it. And, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
But this is the weekend, you need to get it all.
This is the weekend, you need to get it corrected. Oh, three
all cleaned up, he said, with three sneezes.
That's right. Three of them. Yeah. That is a fact. And so, you know, you'll get an email. And, you know, Monday morning, I'm sure there's going to be, we'll get a bunch of emails. But, you know. It is what it is. All right. I just wanted to put that out there. Let me just take the charts. Enough whining about stuff. Now, I will just take the charts, and I'm going to give Bert eyes. And now Bert has eyes. All right. There we go. Bless you, Dwayne.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
All right. I can see your spreadsheet, and I'll hit mute.
Okay, and I'll start talking. All right, here we go, guys. Today is Friday, the 20th day of March, 2015. Today in the live trading room, our first trade was a loss on soybeans. We lost 8 ticks. The next market anyway. We made 5 ticks on the Russell. We lost 1 tick on gas. We made 10 ticks on crude and 11 ticks in gold. Today it took us 23 minutes and 7 trades to get to our goal for the day. At that time, we were up $130 a contract. We took a total of 19 trades today. Okay, so far, this month in the live trading room, we have made $3,157.50 a contract. If you apply an $8 commission to every trade we've taken, you would have a net profit of $1,205.50. If you apply a $5 commission to every trade we've taken, you would have a net profit of $1,937.50. Okay, $1,937.50. The gross profit so far this year, $13,307.50 a contract. All right, that's trading one contract, 2 hours per day. $13,307.50 is the gross profit so far this year. Our running monthly total average, our running monthly average so far is $4,435 a contract. Okay. That is it for this spreadsheet. Now let me bring up the other thing. This other thing. And, hang on. I'll bring it right up here. Oops, I gotta log out. Anyway. Try to log out. There we go. Alright. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to CFRN.net, the homepage at CFRN.net. Again, I'll try to log out. You go to the homepage at CFRN.net. Over in the right-hand column where it says register for a free trial, put in your name, put in your email address, click register for a free trial. When you do that, you'll be sent a confirmation link. You got to click on the confirmation link. Okay, if you don't click the confirmation link, you are not getting a free trial. So please look for the confirmation link. All right, that's it. That's all you got to do. All right, now the markets. The ES was just horrible today. Not horrible in that it stopped us out a bunch of times. Horrible in that it didn't provide any opportunity. It was just this miserable little... You can't even see it. I'm trying to make a point here with this thing. Oops. I could do this in the live trading room. All right. It was just really flat all day. Totally flat. It made one move up here at the end, but we didn't identify a single trade today in the live trading room on the ES. Okay. Not a single trade. There, now I can do it. You see how flat it was this morning? From 9:30, right here, at a low of 92, all the way to 10:30 for an hour, it had a high of 96.50. So it had a 4.5 point range. Then finally it went up to the zone, came out of the zone, went through the zone, and now it's back at the zone. So it was a horrible market today. We didn't trade it at all. Okay. Yeah, it is again. On the Russell, today we did trade the Russell. Where is my list? There it is. No, that's yesterday's list. Today we traded... Yeah, okay, this is it right here. Today we traded... We traded the Russell just a few times. We'll get over here and identify those few times. What in the heck? It's like I got drawing objects all over the place or something. All right, I'm going to scroll back here on the Russell. You know what? I don't know what's going on with my charts today. But the first trade we took on the Russell, we made one tick profit. Okay, I think it's right here. All right, we went long. We took one tick profit. I know you can't really see anything right there. I'm sorry about that. The next trade we took on the Russell, I think the next one is when we had one tick. The first one we had a break even, I think. And the next one we took four ticks profit on, break even. Then four ticks profit somewhere. Where are we, 11:24? Well, we only had three trades. So one of them was one tick, one of them was four ticks, and the other one was a break even. That's what we had on the Russell today. I'm sorry my charts are doing this right now. You can't see a thing. Remove all the drawing objects so it doesn't mess me up next time. All right. On crude oil today, All my charts are doing the same thing. What has gone wrong? On crude oil today, we had quite a few trades on crude. For some reason, all my drawing objects are way up there. That does not make any sense at all. Way up at 1170. That's just crazy. All right. Well, we'll see what we can go through here on the crude. On the crude, we made 10 ticks profit today. Okay. Apparently there was a trade right in here somewhere, but my drawing object somehow got shifted all the way up there. I'm just going to have to delete the drawing objects. Our first trade on crude, we made 3 ticks profit. I don't know where it was. It was somewhere in here. Our second trade on crude, we made another 3 ticks profit, putting us at plus 6. In our final trade on crude, we made 10 ticks profit. Okay. That is how we ended with crude. This is going to be a quick recap because I can't do the individual trades because of the way that, for whatever reason, it's worked. This is gold. On gold, we ended with plus 11 ticks. I think I'm just going to scroll back like this instead of expanding the chart. All right. In this trade right here, I think this was our first trade on gold. We made 1 tick profit on this one. Okay, 1 tick profit on this, and then it took off. Crazy. We got a break even on that one. Then the next trade on gold happened in here somewhere. Right there. We have 5 ticks profit on that, putting us at plus 6. And there should be one more right there. 5 ticks profit on that, putting us at plus 11 on gold for the day. Okay, we're at plus 11 on the day on gold. During the break, not really much happening here during the break. One momentum trade that I wouldn't have taken right there. Would have been a break even if I did take it. All right. Natural gas. On the gas, we had a high of plus 15 ticks today, but then we lost 2 trades. You think, John? And I was just telling you how high we were on natural gas. On the natural gas, we took... Yeah. Let me get to it. All right. In here on the gas, our first trade, we took 5 ticks profit. Okay, the next trade, we took 1 tick, putting us at plus 6. Then we took 10 ticks, putting us, I'm sorry, 9 ticks, putting us at plus 15. Then we had 2 losing trades. That one, putting us at plus 7. And that one, putting us at minus 1. And a break-even trade there. And then that was pretty much it for the live trading room. Let's see, after the live trading room, there was a nice shorting opportunity right there. And... that looks like all the opportunities we had. Yeah. Well, there was a shorting opportunity right in here. It would have been a momentum short right in there. But that looks like all we had there with the natural gas. Okay, on the soybeans, I think we took 2 trades on the beans. Here, let me go here and delete all the drawing objects on this one. And delete all the drawing objects on this one. And now on the soybeans, we took 2 trades on the soybeans. The first trade of the day was right here. We went long, stopped us out pretty much to the tick, and then it moved up to where we said it was going to go. And it pulled back, and I told everybody to look for it to get up to 980. And it went up to 980 right there. On this trade right here, we ended up getting stopped out of break even, but we were in at 75 and a quarter, I think, and actually 75 even, and it went up to 980 for 5 cent gain. And looks like, yeah, that's pretty much where it stopped on the day. Is it? Yeah, it is. It came back down after that. We didn't have any other trade setups in there. So, yeah, it was messy today, Ken. You know, well, it's the triple witching and all that kind of stuff. You know, options expiration, futures expiration. and all that kind of business is happening today. And we had the FOMC stuff earlier this week. And that can't have helped. Alright, so that is everything. It's quad expiration. Okay, quad expiration. Either way, it's not a normal Friday. We did manage to get our goal for the day, though. It took us 23 minutes and 7 trades because we started out with that losing trade on soybeans. We're minus 8 on the beans, plus 5 on the Russell, minus 1 on gas, plus 10 on crude, and plus 11 on gold. Took us 23 minutes and 7 trades to get $230 a contract. We took a total of 19 trades. On the month, we're up a total of $3,157.50 a contract. That's the gross. On the year, $13,307.50 a contract. That's also the gross number. Okay, that's where we stand on the day, the month, and the year. If you have not taken the free trial with us, just go to CFRN.net. In the right-hand column where it says register for a free trial, put in your name, put in your email address, click register for a free trial. Once you've done that, you'll be sent a confirmation link. Click on the confirmation link, and then and only then, will you be sent all the information you need for the free trial. Okay? That's it, guys. With that, I am going to wrap it up. And we can head back out to fabulous Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. Sounds like a deal.
All right. Yeah. So that's that. And I got the rest of my list right here in front of me to go through.
All right. Well, when you're done, send it over and I'll get it taken care of.
I will do that. Hopefully, I'll be done in the next couple hours. Okay.
Let me grab the charts. Which would appear to be a relatively simple endeavor.
Usually is.
Yeah, I'll get them here in a minute.
All right, you have a great weekend too, Ken.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys, the other day on the Fed announcement, we had the big run-up in the ding, ding, ding at our highest weekly trading zone. Then we tagged it again. We tagged it again, confirmed it was really good resistance, sold off, got within 2 points of our weekly trading zone below, 73.74. In fact, we even set up a trade there to consider 76 to 74, but it never triggered. We then had a long trade last night that said consider being long above 20.87, and that one worked like a charm, and it took us up to weekly trading zone again. Okay. And so now we sit just above the weekly zone. Markets are bullish. And we're currently trading 2101. Okay. Now, based on historical observance, you know what I'm about to say. Based on historical observance, price will close the day at or below 2100. Does that mean it has to? Is there some law in nature that says it must? Nope. It's just 5 years of watching it. That's what's happened. The vast majority of the time. It just happened last week or week before where it had spiked well below, and then the closing few minutes of the Friday afternoon session, it rushed right back up to close inside of the zone. That's happened on more than one occasion, so we'll just watch it. We don't have any trades on that it's going to make us money if it doesn't, or if it doesn't. It's not like one of those binary option thingamajigs that we don't do anyway. So we won't be affected by the outcome of that in any monetary way. It's just always cool to see it happen when it does. Okay. see if there's any questions in the box. Okay, I think Michael's covered everything. People want to go watch basketball. I'm sure the POTUS is busy watching his games. All right. So, this is really a viewpoint on the week. Everything that's happened. Go right back to the Sunday night Globex Open here. That's Sunday night, 15th. Now there's Friday the 13th, and this little red candle here is the 13th. Right there. That candle. That marks the Globex Open for the week. We opened up into a zone at 45.46, consolidated a couple of hours, made a run to the zone overhead, back to the zone below, consolidated for hours, attempted a run back down, couldn't quite make it, found support at this area, okay, always looking left, and then the big Fed drive all the way up, ding, ding, to hit that highest weekly trading zone, and little pullback. Oh, charts don't fail me now. When that little thing starts going round and round, it's usually not a good thing. Oh, whew. Close call. Okay. Well, I thought it was a close call. Apparently it was closer than I thought. Okay. Let's just give it a minute to get its bearings. Come on, you can do this. I hope. All right, maybe we'll be okay. Just maybe. I threw everything out of whack. All right, that's a little better. Okay. So that's where we sit. Let's go to our good word for the day. Living your fullest life. John 10:10. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Living your fullest life requires three things. One, a good mentor. Paul writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine." Philippians 3:17. Good mentors lead by example. They know that in order to be followed, they must first be respected. They carefully tailor their instructions by understanding your strengths and weaknesses, knowing whether you are right-brained, creative, intuitive, or left-brained, analytical. They know whether you learn visually or verbally. They know when you need a pat on the back or a kick in the seat of your pants. If you have such a mentor, you're very blessed. If you don't, ask God for one. Two, your best effort. Now, these are the three things to living your fullest life. Number one, a good mentor. Number two, your best effort. Andrew Carnegie said, "There's no use whatsoever trying to help people who don't help themselves. You cannot push anyone up a ladder unless he is willing to climb himself." Now, that Andrew Carnegie saying is often quoted as a biblical scripture. God helps those who helps themselves. Well, that wasn't God. That was Andrew Carnegie. Number three, a little extra. This is the extra mile principle that Jesus taught in Matthew 5:41. It involves extra effort, extra time. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. Habakkuk 2:3. Gudzin Borgum, the sculptor who created the memorial to the American presidents at Mount Rushmore, was asked if he considered his work to be perfect. He supposedly replied, "Not today. The nose of President Washington is an inch too long. It's better that way, though. It will erode and be exactly right in 10,000 years. Now that's forward thinking. And that's our good word for the day. So let's go take a look at the concierge alerts from last night. Go first to the S&P 500 E-mini futures. The concierge alerts, it's quite a simple process, not in the making, but in the using thereof. You get an email that looks like this, roughly. It doesn't have all the pretty stuff. We're actually coming out maybe with a portal, a password-protected portal for partners and clients. One of our partners sent me a mock-up of the portal that he's been working on, and man, he did a great job. I haven't had a chance to check my email yet today to see if he wrote me back, but just an outstanding job. And so, the ES last night, consider long above 2087 or short below 2076. And so, you, the end user, you put a vertical line on your chart that represents either when the email hit your inbox or when you opened the email, whichever is relative to you. And then a horizontal line that represents the long side and a horizontal line that represents the short side. Could be said, looks like that fellow didn't know which way the market's going. Could be said, you're right. It's not given unto man to know the future. There's some pretty good guessers. People with a pretty good track record. But none of us know the future. Period. So, okay. If we can't know the future, we can live a life which is a guessing game, okay, based on my best thoughts, ideas, plans, indicators, oscillators, gurus, chat box, black box, crystal ball, magical time frame, the market's going to go higher tomorrow. Okay, now you've painted yourself into a corner. If the market doesn't go higher tomorrow, what are you going to do? You're lost. Same thing if you say it's going down. If it doesn't, you either have nothing to do or you could spend the day coming up with some descriptive term to explain why the market didn't do what you predicted or prophesied that it would do. That's one option. Okay. Or you can take Mark Douglas's advice or accept his principle that it's possible to make money in the market without knowing what's going to happen next. Okay? When I put the alerts out last night, I had a pretty good idea the market was going to go higher, but since I can't tell the future, I had to prepare for both scenarios. If it goes higher, this is going to be our tipping point. And we'll want to be long. If for whatever reason the market decides to sell off, this will be our tipping point, we'll go short. Okay? Now, the very first move, get a drawback, and then it tried again to push. If it could have gone just one more tick, we'd have had a break-even trade. But it didn't go one more tick. It pulled back to a low of 20.25 and a quarter. I'm sorry, 20.85 and a quarter. Which is exactly 2 points from our trigger line. So the first trade was a 8 tick hard stop. Nothing you can do to prevent it. It just is. One more tick would have turned it into a break-even trade, but we didn't get one more tick. And so we got an 8-tick stop. This is what a break-even trade looks like when it goes 4 ticks. And the rules say at 4 ticks, you move your stop to break-even. You don't discuss it. You don't call a board meeting with all the voices in your head. You just move the stop to break-even. Better yet, you use the automated strategy in the DOM that Burke created that just pulled your stop up or down to break even. So you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to make a decision. Your decision's already made. This is my methodology. This is how I want to trade it. The next move went the full 8 ticks. Didn't trade through, so there wasn't a guaranteed fill there. Okay, went 8 ticks, ground to a halt. Came back to the trigger line, and if it had gone 1 tick below, guess what? We would have had another 8 tick plus trade, and plus a lot. But if you're going to trade by the rules, that's what rules-based trading is all about. It's about sitting down every day knowing exactly what you're going to do and exactly how you're going to do it and the reason for it all. It didn't drop 1 tick lower. Therefore, we did not get a trigger on the way back up, and we missed this beautiful move to the upside. Okay, moving on. I think we know what happened to the S&P after that. It kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. Okay, let's go to crude oil. We're now in the month of K, GCLK5. Now, keep in mind, the S&P, should it start to sell off this afternoon, these alerts remain valid until the next set of alerts come out. The next set of alerts will not come out until sometime Sunday night. And so when Globex opens Sunday night, these numbers will still be in play. Okay? Now again, I'm not calling for a sell-off in the afternoon, but should there be one, this number is still valid. Okay, crude oil, GCLK. The alert said, consider being long above 45.90 or short below 45.15. 45.15, we bump it down 1 tick to 45.14. Reason for that is if it says to be short below 45.15, the first place you can get short below 45.15 is, that's right, 45.14. And so the first move is good for 8 ticks. Now in the crude market, you need 10 ticks to call it a day. If that's the market you're going to trade, it pays $10 per tick. The S&P pays $12.50 per tick. So you need 8 ticks there. If you want to take, our goal, as you know, is to make $100 per contract per day. Now, if you're a one contract trader because you're just starting out, you're just learning, that's $100 a day. If you're a accomplished five contract trader, oh Lord, we got data problems. That'd drag. if you're an accomplished, here, I'll fix it. Because that's what I do. Hey, Bert, any idea what's up with the platform? Are you there?
I am, but I don't.
Huh?
I don't know if there's something wrong with it or not.
Well, yeah, it keeps rebooting, but I'll get, no, I understand there's nothing you can do about it, but just thought I'd ask. It's rebooted twice on me now. Nothing else on the platform, nothing else, just that. So it's kind of odd. All right, let's get back to where we were. The first move was good for 8 ticks. You need 10 ticks to make the $100. If you're a brand new trader starting out, you've just left the simulator, you've proven yourself consistently profitable, your goal now is to make $100 a day in 10 trades or less. That's pretty liberal for a conservative radio show, right? 10 trades to make $100. That's in the crude market, 10 ticks. You don't have to take it all in one trade. You don't even have to take it all from one market. Just as long as at the end of the day, it all adds up to $100 gross, not net, gross, and you did it in 10 trades or less. Okay? And then we walk you through every step of that. We have a 2420 blueprint, takes you by the hand. You always know what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Okay? First move down was good for 8 ticks. That's what the market made available. That's what the market pushed out on the table and said, here's 8 ticks. What do you want to do? Well, you could lock in 4. You could lock in 5. You could lock in 6. You could say, man, that's 80% of my whole daily production. I'm just going to grab it. I'm going to be like a pirate. I'm going to smash and grab, and then I'll stumble into, you know, 2 more ticks here in a bit, and then I'll be done for the day. See, it's your decision. It's your business. You get to decide. And that's where some of us struggle, because in the past, it hasn't been our decision. We've never been in a job or a position where we were the shot caller. Okay? Here, you are the shot caller. Okay? Now, the next move goes the full 10 ticks. And it trades through the line, which means there was a guaranteed fill, okay? Here, if we'd have gone 1 tick higher, it would have reset and triggered us into a new trade, but it did not. Now we're triggered in, or here, now we've reset, and as we pass through 4514, that triggers us in, the market puts 6 ticks on the table. Now, how do we know that the market's going to turn and that we should take those 6 ticks? We don't. See, that's the key right there. We don't know that. Well, if I lock in 4 ticks, surely I'll get stopped out. Okay? Well, look at how this played out. If you do nothing, you're going to get stopped out anyway. Is it better to get stopped out with some money or no money? Now, when we were looking at the S&P, 4 ticks was 50% of your daily production. Because we now need 10 ticks in the crude market, it's not quite 50%. But it's still, call it a third, all right? It's at least a third of your daily production. So that's if you lock in 4. If you lock in 6, it's 60% of your daily production. At 4, it's 40%. Now, let's do it like that. Okay? Follow me on this? Now, the next one's a hard stop. Well, why couldn't you have just taken some of that? Well, we don't do anything until we have four ticks of profit. Okay? Once we have four ticks of profit, our stop goes to break even. Here, we only dropped, what did we drop to? The low there was 12, so we only dropped two ticks. But hey, one tick is enough to trigger us in, and then the market ran the other way. Patiently wait for the next trigger to come along. And there it is to the upside. It's a nice full 10 tick move. Trades through the line, which guarantees a fill for anyone who is attempting to exit with 10 ticks, because you entered here, you traded to here. The fact that we went through it by even one tick guarantees that everyone standing in line waiting to get filled got filled. We pull back. If we had pulled back just one more tick, we'd have had another 10 tick move, but we didn't. And so we did. We didn't, so we don't. There you go. That's how that works. And then, if I'm not mistaken, crude took off and has been screaming higher. And currently, it's up at 47.13. Okay, so quick recap of crude for the day. There was a 10 tick move. You only need one 10 tick move to call it a day. There is a stop out, a 6 tick move, a 10 tick move, and an 8 tick move. Was there opportunity there spread over a couple of trades to take 10 ticks out of the market in less than 10 trades? The answer, of course, to that is yes. Now we go to the Russell. Okay, and the alert for the Russell last night said, long, consider being long above 1256 or short below 1247. So we've bumped it up to 56.1. You know the reason why. We get a break-even trade, and then 10 ticks plus. Plus meaning we traded through the 10-tick mark. The Russell pays $10 per tick. So if you're new and trading one contract, that's your $100. You're done for the day. If you've been working the 2420 blueprint for a year, everything's on track, you're at 10 contracts, that's your grand for the day, and you're done. Yeah, you owe commission on three trades, but you're done. Okay? Now, again, the alerts were emailed out at 2 a.m. Eastern. If you did not open your email until 8:47 a.m. Eastern, this is not your reality. This is somebody else's reality. This is my reality. Okay? It's not your reality until you open your email and sit down to trade. The next move, another 10 ticks plus. So we got two back-to-back 10 tick plus moves. 8 tick, hard stop. Market makes 5 ticks available. The market then makes 7 ticks available. The market then makes 10 plus ticks available. Market makes 9 ticks available. The market makes, does that say 19? I think that's supposed to say 10. Market made 10 ticks plus available. See, it comes down, resets, triggers. Think of it like pinball, okay? Once this drops below the line, the old ball's out of play. New ball pops up into the chute, and as you go up through 1256.10, you're pulling the plunger, and away we go. And it trades through the line, and so you're guaranteed a fill. And that may be it for the Russell, up, up, and away. There it goes. Okay. Next, what do we have on the agenda here? How about the 6E, the euro? Okay. Okay, the euro, the alert said, long above 733, short below 650. So we're going to move through this quick. There's an 8-tick move. The first move went full 8 ticks. In the euro, which pays 1250 per tick, like the S&P, you only need 8 ticks. 1250 times 8, $100 per contract per day. All right? The next reset and trigger, the market makes 5 ticks available. Reset trigger, 5 ticks available. Reset trigger, 8 ticks available. Right there, 4 trades. That's less than 10 where you could have taken your 8 ticks for the day out of the market. However you spread it out, worked it out, there it was. Okay? Keep moving to the right. And I think that's up and away for the euro. Okay? We'll check back in on it later. Remember, these numbers remain valid until the new numbers come out Sunday night. Here we have soybeans. The alert on soybeans said to consider being long above 970 or short below 958. Triggered on the long side, I'm sorry, it said consider being long above 970 or short below 958. So here's 970 and a quarter. Very first move out of the gate, trades through, gives us our 8 ticks for the day. If you're a soybean trader, that's your game, you're done. That's your business, you're done. Okay. The next move, reset, trigger, market makes 6 ticks available. Then there's an 8 tick hard stop, and then the market makes 8 plus ticks available on the next move. And that's it for soybeans. Okay, so far, so good. Been a beautiful recap. Let's go to the gold market. Okay, in gold, the alert said, long above 1171 or short below 1166. First move in gold, 6 ticks were made available. And then a hard stop of 8 ticks, followed by another hard stop of 8 ticks. 5 ticks. Then the market makes 10 plus ticks available. Okay? Gold pays $10 per tick. 10 times 10 is 100. So again, the one contract trader, there's your 100 bucks. The 5 contract trader, there's your 500 for the day, you're done. And for the 10 contract trader, there's your grand, you're done. Okay? Then the market makes 8 available for those who slept in. Then the market made 10 available. And the market made 7 available. And then the market made 10 plus available. The market made 5 available, the market made 6 available, the market made 5 available. 8 tick hard stop. That happens. 10 ticks plus. Now, on the initial touch, we didn't trade through, so there wasn't a guaranteed fill on that candle. There was a pullback, which would have probably stopped you out, should have stopped you out with 7 or 8 ticks. Okay, you should be trailing it that close. And so you don't get those couple extra ticks. That's all right. You'll make up, you've already got it, or you'll make up for it on the next trade. If not in this market, in a different market. And gold has traded considerably higher, and This is where we sit right now. Way up there at 1185. Okay. Bonds. On the bonds, long above 164.10, short below 163.05. You've got one stop out right there, and that's it. That's all we had on the bonds, is one stop out so far today. It's been a really good week for us with the bonds as far as the concierge alerts go. Today, we'll see what happens here shortly if we don't get any kind of a break to the upside, perhaps. If we don't, well, that's why we have more than one market. Okay. The only market we have not covered is the Dow. Now, I'm going to give you a peek at it, and then after we talk to David, I'll come back and I'll recap it bar by bar. The first move, just to give you a point of reference, coming out of the gate was good for, let's see, the alert said long above 17,970 or short below 17,840. And so from 71 up to 76, so this was a 5-tick move, and this was a break-even move. And then we got our 20-point move. Takes 20 points in the YM because it pays $5 per point. So 71, 81, 91. I'm having such a hard time seeing the screen today. 71, 81. Come on. You can do this, Dwayne. Ha! There we go. From 71 to 91. 20 points. So if you were trading the Dow today with the concierge alerts, you had a 6-tick, you had a 5-tick, or a 6-point, a 5-point, and a 20-point, that's the way they call it, in the Dow, and it came back and gave you another 20 points, and then it came back, oh, and by 1-tick, look at that. See? Sometimes good things do happen to good people. That 1-tick right there triggered you in. Reset the trade, gave you another 20 points, and I just recapped the Dow. 20, 20, 20, 5, and 6. Wow. So that takes care of the entire recap. What a great day to be a concierge trader trader. Hope things went well for you. We're going to head to Vegas now. We got to pause for just a brief station identification. But once we do that, we shall be back with David from PageTrader.com. Please don't touch your radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you,
sir? Very much. Thank you. I'm very good. It's another just absolutely gorgeous day in Las Vegas. We're so close to spring, and there's snow still coming down on the East Coast. Now, that's pretty weird. You're about to hit spring, on Monday, or it's actually basically today is the start of spring. I mean, you could make the argument the 20th, you know, and it's snowing. That's unusual.
Now, where's it snowing?
On the East Coast, I think in New York. I'm not exactly sure, honestly, but somewhere on the East Coast, I'm thinking, boy, that is unusual.
No snow in Vegas, though.
No snow in Vegas. No.
No snow in Vegas. We got no snow here.
Well, you know, and we've now gone 5 months in Las Vegas with fall-like weather, and it's just been beautiful. So, pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable.
It's been the mildest winter in Phoenix, or one of the mildest. Could potentially be the mildest in 30-some-odd years that I've heard.
It's the mildest winter in Las Vegas in 100 years.
Oh, that's an official on the record kind of thing?
That's an official thing, yeah. We've not had – this was so mild that it didn't even – you just didn't even have a winter. That's how mild it was. So, pretty remarkable.
Well, David, here's an interesting first question in the chat box. You ready for it?
Sure.
It's a wake you up. Hello, Dwayne Reeves. I am a Christian. Will you please explain the difference between gambling and what you all do here? Thank you so much. I've answered that question 1,000 times. Would you like a stab at it?
Well, sure. First of all, are Christians not supposed to gamble? Is that a thing?
There's not like a Ten Commandment, there shall not gamble, but it's not considered to be good stewardship. And I think that's pretty much, although there are certain denominations that have like bingo night and other types of things that are used to raise funds that, you know, some could call that gambling, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, I guess by and large, Christians, in theory, quote unquote, aren't supposed to gamble. So,
if a Christian went to Las Vegas to vacation and he had... You know, he's vacationing. He's spending expendable money on enjoyment. Would it be out of order for him to gamble with $200 or something, and that's his play money?
You know.
Would that be, I wonder? I'm actually asking the
Am I a Christian man, ordained minister? Have I ever put a quarter in a slot machine and pull the handle? Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Oh, that was before you were ordained. No, it was after, you know.
Actually, you hold your sermons in front of a...
I don't have a gambling problem. I have expendable income. And if I have some money that I want to spend on, I don't know, buying a new pair of Ray-Bans or whatever, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to die and go to hell for putting a quarter in a slot machine. But answer the man's question.
Okay, no, I was just...
The difference between gambling and trading.
Well... there are dramatic differences between gambling and trading under certain conditions, and there's almost no difference between gambling and trading under other conditions.
Well said.
Yeah.
There are so many people out there trading today that are doing nothing more than gambling.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad you said it that way. Go ahead and finish, please.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that... a skilled person, somebody who has practiced what they're doing and has learned his craft, and this is a craft, can invest his money. He's investing. He's not gambling. Now, you could make the argument that investment is a gamble, but prudent investments is even mentioned in the Bible. Jesus, in the story of the people that he gives the coins to, and he comes back, and the one person that he was most upset with was the person who just buried the coins under the ground and said, here, I kept them safe and I gave them back to you. He wanted somebody to invest that money. That's a way of interpreting that, you know, he wanted, actually, it's a spiritual story. It's not really about money. It's about growing. It's about, you know, inwardly growing and growing towards, you know, the higher life and so on. But and that's one interpretation. But in this interpretation, it's even biblical that you should be investing your money. So you could say, is investment itself, is if you buy a home, is that a gamble? Well, it is a gamble if you mean that you don't have a guaranteed outcome, but it also has
a Subway franchise, that's a gamble.
Yeah, it's that's the problem with the word gamble. And I think the general term of gambling means that you don't really have any real hope to come out alive. You're just looking for luck. You're relying on luck. And I think reliance on luck is a bad way to invest. But a skilled person in the markets can actually, get into the markets and, in spite of occasional losses, get ahead and stay ahead. An unskilled person trading in the markets is also going to, it's going to be indistinguishable from gambling. I would agree with that. So if your question is what's the difference between trading and gambling, the answer is skilled trading isn't gambling. It's a form of investment, just like you buying your house or you investing in a piece of art or you doing something that has a very good likelihood of returning, but not in every single case. And that gambling is the reliance upon luck to, give you a return. And that's what I think my best explanation. I would also throw at you this, the listener who asked that question. Would you consider it gambling to drive a car? And your answer to me would be similar to my answer. Your answer would be, yes, it is gambling. If you don't know how to drive, you're gambling because it'll be very quickly, you'll find out the person doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to crash the car into a road, into the side, or into a building, into a person. But a person who's skilled at driving, it's no longer gambling. There's still this risk involved. You're moving a 4,000-pound object down the road at 50 miles an hour, and you are steering, and you're amongst other people who are moving their 4,000-pound cars down the road steering. Wouldn't you consider that gambling? And your answer would be, no, if the people that are in those cars know how to drive, if they're licensed drivers, it's not gambling, but there still is a chance you can get in an accident. So we're taking on risk in every area of our life every day. If you get onto an airplane, and we can go on and on with these analogies. So the same analogy, though, for the car and for the plane and for all these other things.
CFRN Analogy Hour. Join us.
Yeah, those analogies fit with this, though. The reason this is considered gambling by many people is because many people don't acquire the skills to do it, and the stories that you hear most often are stories about people losing money, and they lose the money to the market. Is this harder to do than ordinary things that might return some money? Yes, but this also has a higher rate of return if you learn to do it correctly. And it's not for everybody, and so on. So I hope that answers your question, at least in our perspective, that it is, in fact, both gambling and investing, depending on the skill of the person employing.
And to the person who asked the question, Bill, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you bring the question to the table today because you yourself are concerned that you could be getting into something that might, quote-unquote, be sinful or unchristian? Or is it because you have an interest in trading, but others, maybe the elders in your church or someone else, your pastor, I don't know, has told you that it's gambling? I'm curious where the root of the question is, because I might be able to help you even more with the answer if I know from what vantage point you're asking the question. Okay? So feel free to type in more if you'd like, and if not, we can leave it go with that. When
I could throw something else in, Dane. I'm sorry, Duane. Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
Finish your idea.
No. Go ahead.
We could say something like, take something like buying a home that no one considers to be a gamble. And I'm sure that the listener who's asking that question doesn't consider buying a home to be a gamble. But there's issues with buying a home. And if I said to you, well, I'm going to go buy a home in the downtown or, whatever section of Detroit, which is basically bankrupt, that's more of a gamble, substantially. Maybe I buy an office building or a house. Let's say a house, and the house is $10,000. And $10,000 is a lot of money. So I buy, but I tell you, but I'm buying a house. So isn't that good? That's not gambling. But actually, it is gambling because I'm buying in a bankrupt community that may not come back and may just go out of business. So the term buying a house sounds good. Doesn't sound like gambling, but there's even areas where you could buy a house and it could be considered a gamble. See, so it really depends on outside factors other than the thing that you're buying or whatever. There's other factors involved to make it a gamble. But I do agree with the listener in general that most of the stories you're going to hear from your friends and your relatives, Uncle Joe or whoever, that you know got into the commodities markets, they all lose money because it's a particularly highly skilled endeavor to get this down and to practice it. But the reward from getting it down is that you can invest your money in the high probability movements that, although are not always correct, are more often right than wrong. And with money management and so on, you can you can get ahead, and you're growing your money that way. So there you are. So there's many different things. You could buy houses, and it could be called gambling. That's my point.
And Bill's response was that, in fact, my pastor said that it is gambling. And so, well, there you go. And so you'll have to, take that into your own prayer closet and sort that out. You know, and you may want to talk with him about it or not. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with him. Maybe he's your new pastor, or you've known him for many years. But if I were you, I would ask him why he considers it to be gambling. I would, in other words, encourage you to find out what he bases his statement on. May simply be parroting that which he was taught and that which he was told. See, whoever he learned from, whoever his mentor was, whoever his professor was, if he went to college to get a degree in theology, perhaps, they may have simply made a statement that, gambling is wrong and trading is gambling. Being an investor, a short-term investor, is wrong. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
They don't think of it as short-term investing. The reason he believes that is because he's going to use the word betting. The word betting is going to be in there, and anything where betting is involved is gambling. Horse racing, betting on the outcomes of sports games, all of that is gambling, I think, perhaps to this fellow. And, in a general sense, I would agree with him. But I would remind not only the listener here that's listening and also the other people that if a person wants to, he can go very deeply into whatever subject he wants to go and find truths to that subject that could be very beneficial to him in an area that may have been difficult for others, like in the areas of, making bets and stuff like that. That's one of the reasons I don't like using terminology, gambler's terminology. I shy away from, and I've always said that on this radio program, that I don't like the terms, betting, winning, losing. I don't use those. I don't like those. I may occasionally use them by accident, but I really think of trading much, much differently than that. And I would also, again, I want to say that I totally understand where the pastor is coming from, because his life experience probably is filled with people who have stories where they've lost money in betting on stocks, betting on futures, betting on the outcomes of whatever. And so, in general, I would agree with him, but when you get deeper into it, I would very vehemently disagree. And he would very much like to have the amount of profits that we've made in trading in his church account, which now in the last four years, we have accumulated $700,000 in trading profits. Just saying to this one listener here, because you're beating it out of me. That's $700,000 more than we would have had had we not invested in the markets. And that's, we traded that. That means that we were in and out hundreds and hundreds of times. And we show that statement, and Bert Schlichter, the broker that's on the show often, has reviewed it. It's real money in a real account over at Schwab. He has the keys to that account. He's been through the statements. He knows it's real. So when you have a skill that you can apply, that's the question, is if you have that skill or if you develop the skill. It's not the thing itself, whether it's driving a car or whether it's betting on sports, you know, the term betting. If somebody's really skilled at it, he can actually do something with that. The issue is getting that skill. And that's what this radio and that's what our websites and all that are about, so that people don't have to rely on luck to try to make money out of the market. We're not into, myself, Dwayne, or anyone else, we're not into trying to rely on luck. We're here to try to utilize a skill and an understanding about the nature of what we're doing to be able to make gains in the market. So I hope that's helpful. Dwayne, are you still there?
I am. I think Michael's in the background with his headset that goes trial, trial, trial. And so I'm going to mute him. In the past, that was always him that had that issue.
You know, one other thing I would say about that also, Dwayne, if I could, is, and then I promise I'll shut up. You know, is there anything wrong with you, and maybe you have asked your pastor, but is there anything wrong with you saying to your pastor, listen, there's something here, I'd like to study it anyway. I won't do any of it, but I'd like to at least study it. Is there anything wrong with studying the nature of investment in the markets? Would there anything, would there be anything wrong with the study of it? I wonder what he would tell you. If that's what you want to do.
Well, you know, I'm quite certain that if you put a check in the collection basket and the pastor said, wow, that's a very nice check, you get a raise at work, a bonus. Well, no, I've been doing some studying, and I made a couple of investments, and they paid off handsomely, and you've taught us to always tithe on, you know, what we earn, and so that's all I'm doing is I'm bringing my tithes into the storehouse. I can almost guarantee you, now, can't, not 100%, but I can almost guarantee you that he would not refuse that money. Because, see, you studied, you learned, and you earned. When you understand how to trade, when you gain the skill set that is required to be a trader, it's no different than any other job. You just get up and you go to work. I mean, but I understand the long, deep roots, and Bruce has asked twice now, and I don't want you to feel obligated to tell us, but he wants to know what denomination your pastor is. But again, I'm only asking because Bruce asked me to ask you twice, and if you don't want to answer, you can remain silent. And we won't judge you. I was raised in a Pentecostal holiness home, church, as a child by my grandmother, and not only couldn't you gamble, you couldn't dance, you couldn't go to the movies, you couldn't wear any makeup, you couldn't wear any jewelry. The list of could nots was quite lengthy, to say the least.
Yeah, this goes back then also when the could nots and the social behaviors, you know, you can go back to Confucius and to, I forgot the other guy's name, who one of these
are the great. We got a Pentecostal in the house.
Okay. There's two great philosophers. One of them was, one of them was a, well, Confucius, which was a person
he
of
was not a Pentecostal.
No, but his thing was the inner character of man is what matters. The externals are not important. And the other one was all about external reformation. You know, you can and shouldn't do this. You should do that. You shouldn't do this. What you do or don't do is a lot less important than what internally you feel compelled to do and what you feel internally compelled not to do. Telling someone who, you know, it's like that old thing about lust, you know, saying, well, don't, you know, don't lust after a woman, or don't go to the bars, you know, as an example. But going to the bars is just an external result of somebody having that inner nature where he wants to do that all the time. And that's where the real issue is. It's not in the external behavior. The external behavior is itself a result of his internal condition, you know, not being resolved and not being solved and so on.
Maybe the guy's just thirsty. Give him a break.
Yeah, maybe he just wants for a quick drink. Maybe that's what it is. anyway, that's a big subject.
Let me share this with you, Bill, because it was said by, who said this? Okay, Robert offers this. If you feel that it's sin, then you should be concerned about it. Okay, if someone else considers it sin, and that's their business, and that's between them and God, and they've expressed their opinion to you, now you have to reconcile that with God. Because trust me, if you go to work every day feeling guilty about the work that you do, then chances that no good will come of that. I don't suspect if you're have this cloud of guilt hanging over your head, you probably won't become a good trader, and then they'll be able to point their finger and go, see, told you, you lost all your money. So just work it out, and it sounds to me like from your responses that you understand exactly what we're talking about, and that you understand that concept of it being wrong comes from, you know, a long line of tradition and man-made rules and so forth and so on. So let's move on to whatever's next in the chat box here. Is the skill a rule-based system? Well, Bill, there are different types of traders. Now, we use a rules-based system. I can sit in front of a chart that doesn't have any indicators on it, just 5-minute candles, and I mean, I guess your question is tougher to answer than I thought. Is the skill a rule-based system? Well, it can, or it could be. The skill could be a rules-based system that you're using, which is what I just showed with the concierge trade alerts. That's very much a rules-based system. The rules are carved in stone, and this is how you do it, and this is, you know, everything's laid out. Now, but that doesn't mean that that's, you know, the only way or the right way. It means it's a way. There are other very talented traders who sit down and based upon market conditions and whatever's happening today, they may place a trade long or short based on any number of rules or concepts or ideas or trade setups that they have gained over their years of experience learning to trade in the markets. So that's a difficult question to answer, but I didn't want you to think I didn't see the question or that I was avoiding the question. I just think it's you can't get the right answer by asking the wrong question. So there, I gave you the best right answer I could. So I hope that helps, because I know, you know, that thing hanging over your head, it's no fun. Would you consider playing poker for money gambling if you have a skill of calculating the odds of the cards? Wayne, are you asking, would you consider playing poker for money gambling if you have a skill of calculating the odds of the cards? Well, if you're a really good poker player and that's what you do for a living, then you're just going to work every day. That's how I see it, you know. How I see it and how other people see it, that's up to them, you know. ES, any pullback bulls want 2101 to hold? Richard asks. So if anyone would like to answer, please.
I think he's making a statement that I think the Bulls want 2100 to hold.
Well, he says, yes, any pullback Bulls want 2101 to hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the statement, is that he's saying that's what they want. Correct me if I'm wrong.
ES is the bottom of his 2111 to 2151 zone. Did you mean 2111 or 2101? Robert says, this would be an interesting discussion on your Google Plus pages. Well, feel free to open up a discussion, Robert. Go right ahead. Okay, so Richard has a zone 2111 to 2151. Okay, got that. Okay. Google has been busted. Now, the news today, it's not really that big of a deal, I suppose. A few years ago, the FTC decided not to pursue an antitrust lawsuit against Google, despite finding that its search algorithm really was biased. Now we finally know the details of that lengthy investigation thanks to a report written by FTC staffers that recently surfaced due to an open records request. According to the 160-page report, employees found evidence that Mountain View was demoting its competitors and placing its own services on top of search results lists, even if they weren't as helpful. Google Flights, for instance, would rank highly during the staff's test searches, even though it didn't offer as many options as other flight aggregators and travel websites like Travel Advisor. Former Googler and now Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer once said that the company didn't rank its own websites based on click-through rates like it did others. If Google did that, then its services would have been buried underneath piles of other more relevant results. The investigators' report corroborates that statement. They discovered that the company used a special algorithm to boost its own product's placement on the results page. Now, while the FTC didn't sue Mountain View for its anti-competitive prices, it got Google to promise to change its ways. The staff mentioned in the document that the company tweaked its algorithm, but it had to do so four times before testers gave it a slightly positive feedback. These changes were implemented way after Google got what it wanted, though. That old special algorithm already increased traffic to its services. Google did say in their reply, after an exhaustive 19-month review covering 9 million pages of documents, many hours of testimony, the FTC staff and all five FTC commissioners agreed there was no need to take action on how we rank and display our search results. This is a comment or statement from Google. We regularly change our search algorithms and make over 500 changes a year to help our users get the information they want. We created search for users, not websites, and that focus has driven our improvements over the last decade. And I got to tell you, when they tweak that algorithm, man, if you have a website, you can really, you know, whether it's a penguin or whatever the last few that they've done have been called, it can shake you up. But if you have a good site with good quality content and structure, anything they throw at you, the changes can actually help you and boost your rankings. But if everything you do is quality and you have deep content and it's relevant, over a short period of time, which can be, you know, 1 to 3 months, which can be an eternity to an e-commerce retailer, unfortunately, you will work your way back. I mean, big companies like JCPenney, they got literally Google like blackball them from the whole internet because of the way they were, and Sears got in trouble too because of the way they were sort of black hat coding some of their results. And Google doesn't mess around. And once you get whacked, there's no place to call and plead and whine. It's done. So, but then everyone who's running a website, you should be aware of that, or whoever manages your website should be aware of that, and just always, you know, play by the rules, do the right thing. If you don't know what the right thing is, Google it, because you can find the answer. So, that's the big news on Google. Let's see what other news we might have out there today. David, you got any news in your neighborhood?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's very big, important things happening. And
no.
I mean, of course there is.
The move comes. California announces a $1 billion emergency drought relief package. The move comes days after new rules cracking down on lawn watering and tap water at restaurants, as if Californians needed another reminder that they're still loading. That their state is dangerously hot and dry. They got it on March 15th when more than 30 runners at the Los Angeles Marathon were hospitalized due to record high temperatures. The late winter heat wave, the mercury climbed above 90 in the city and surrounding areas, offered stark notice that 4 years into a severe drought, the Golden State remains desperately parched with little relief in sight. Governor Brown and a bipartisan group of state lawmakers attempted to deliver some form of relief Thursday when they announced a $1 billion plan to provide immediate relief and stave off future problems. This is a struggle, something we're going to have to live with for now. For how long, we're not sure. While the legislation includes millions of dollars in emergency aid, it also earmarks $660 million for flood prevention. That seems almost, we're talking about $1 billion emergency drought relief package, and we're going to spend $660 million on flood prevention. Wait, is that an oxymoron, or what is that?
It's government at work.
Oh, my goodness. The new measure comes 2 days after state officials voted March 17th to enact some of the broadest and strictest statewide water limits in California history. Outdoor lawn and landscape watering, which accounts for about half of all consumption in urban areas, will be limited to 2 days per week. It's the number one thing that can be done, and it's easy. Water board regulators will also ban residents from irrigating during rainstorms and for 2 days afterwards. And restaurants will be permitted to offer tap water to patrons only upon request. Well, I hope them the best. You know, you really get down to the basics of life when you know, what was it we were taught as kids in school? Food, shelter, and clothing. And, of course, water being part of the food equation there. We talk about our electric cars and the Tesla and how you can tell it to come and it will come. And when you get out, you can tell it to go park itself in the garage and it will. That's coming in the next edition, by the way.
Sure.
Olive Garden turnaround helps lift Darden profit above expectations. So maybe the guy who was against the unlimited breadsticks finally won. New 52-week high today for Olive Garden. New breast milk products are on the rise, but commercialization troubles many. When Gritty Amaya took an unpaid maternity leave 5 months ago, she started what she calls a part-time job to help pay the bills. Samaya, who lives in Miami, has made more than $2,000 so far by pumping breast milk and selling what is left over after feeding her baby daughter. frozen milk from Mizumaya and from hundreds of others. Page loading. Is flown here to what resembles a pharmaceutical factory. Inside it is it is concentrated into a high-protein product fed to extremely premature babies in neonatal intensive care units at a cost of thousands of dollars per baby. Breast milk, the most ancient and fundamental of nourishments, is becoming an industrial commodity and one of the newest frontiers of the biotechnology industry, even as concerns abound over this fast-growing business. The company that owns a factory, Prolacta Bioscience, has received $46 million in investments from life science venture capitalists. This is white plasma, says the company's CEO. He was comparing milk to blood plasma, which has long been collected from donors and made into valuable medical products like immune globulin, which helps fight infections, and clotting factors for hemophiliacs. Concentrated milk could be just the start. Researchers say that breast milk, which evolved over eons to provide optimal nutrition and protect babies from infection, is brimming with potential therapeutics not only for babies, but possibly for adults, to treat intestinal or infectious diseases like the bowel ailment known as Crohn's disease, for example. We are at the tip of the iceberg for breast milk. So, okay, here we go. But the commercialization of breast milk makes many people uneasy. Now, you know, people always got to get tied up in a knot over something. I mean, this is all sounding really good, you know. Here's a lady, she's got some breast milk, she's got more than she needs, she can help, you know, her household income, there's a company that can put it to good use. I mean, this sounds like all white hat stuff to me, but the commercialization of breast milk makes many people uneasy. They worry that companies might capture most of the excess breast milk and make products that would be too costly for many babies, while leaving less milk available from nonprofit milk banks. Okay. Competition comes in the form of how much surplus breast milk is there in the country and who's getting it. This is from the CEO at, or the executive director of the nonprofit Mother's Milk Bank at Austin. The nonprofit milk banks have a long history of providing milk to the sickest babies and provided based on medical need and not on insurance reimbursement or financial resources. So I guess that's where the problem lies, kind of like with kidneys and that sort of thing. Opponents of payments worried about breast milk farming say women might try to increase their milk output unsafely, hide health problems that could make the milk unsafe, mix in cow milk to increase volume, or deprive their own babies just so they can sell more. You know, David, I did not even know this was a problem.
Well, all you have to do is bring people into it, and now you have
there
a problem.
Invite a couple of friends over, and pretty soon there will be blood.
That's right.
Tim Cook explains how Apple decides on which products to work on next. Apple enters new product categories with purpose, often opting to forego the title of first for a chance to be deemed the best. That was the case with the iPod in 01, the iPhone in 07, and the iPad in 09. Could turn out to be true for the watch in 15. Now, David, are you going to get one of those watches, you think?
I don't have any intention of getting one right now.
Okay.
Maybe at some point, but
they have one really expensive one that there's nothing different about it except it's gold. And so they've kind of been made fun of for that. But then I read yesterday that they're working, I don't have that article handy, but they're working with some high name Swiss watchmaker where they may actually make a different type of timepiece that can be sold into the luxury market. But I think the price point, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I think the price point for the Apple Watch is $375. Now, Will I Am, former member, and I didn't know he was a former member of the Black Eyed Peas. I didn't know they'd broken up. But Will I Am and another company, gosh, I can't remember which one it is, they're coming out with a wrist band. It's not a watch. It's just more like a band that goes around your wrist. But it does something that most of the other watches don't do, in that it does not need a phone to operate. Many of the watches, you know, in order to get any functionality out of them, you need to have an iPhone or some kind of Android phone in your pocket or nearby for the watch to. But this band that Will I Am is going to produce with, was it Samsung? I can't think of who it was. Somebody in the audience may know. Now that sounds pretty interesting. You'll be able to do like FaceTime with it. You'll be able to make calls, talk, but it won't have a watch face. So more on that as the story develops. What about you, David? You got anything? Anything you want to talk
about?
Well,
no. I'm just keeping an eye on the markets. I mean, we can talk about markets if you'd like.
Will I Am band. Oh, I should have said wristband. It may get angry now. Oh, Gucci. That's who it is. Gucci. All right. Gucci and Will I Am. He is a pretty talented musician. Gucci and Will I Am team up for luxury phone free. Oh, stop with the ads. Goodness. I used to complain about banners. This stuff is so in your face, and then it won't go away. Fashion House and former Black Eyed Peas star have partnered on an upcoming smart band, which will operate independently. Oh, it just goes on. Look at that. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Now it's going to start playing a thing I don't want to hear. Luxury fashion brand Gucci and musician Will I Am are making a new fashion-focused smart band. Although no new product was officially unveiled at the Baselworld Watch Fair, former Black Eyed Peas stars promised that device will operate independently of a phone. The CEO of Gucci was there. They were wearing early prototypes, but you can't really see them there. The devices appear to be thick, wide bands that wrap around the wrist rather than a typical watch face that houses the processor. They certainly don't look particularly sleek or even that attractive, but it's almost certain Gucci will have a tinker with the design before it goes on sale. A lot of people are creating wearable devices from a tech background. Gucci has been putting things on your body for years. Wearable technology is being dictated by the wrong folks. We like to call it fashionology. It's where fashion and technology meet. Will I Am did discuss some of the band's features, including a front-facing camera for video calling on the move, a la Dick Tracy, a heart rate sensor, temperature sensor, and GPS. The band will be 3G-enabled, allowing it to make phone calls, send texts, and connect to social networks without being tethered to a phone. That's the big deal. Most current smartwatches, including the Android devices and the Apple Watch, need to be connected to a phone in order to provide smart functions. One exception is the LG Watch Urbane LTE, which has its own 4G connection. Yeah, my wife got me one. Did one of those for Christmas. I haven't really figured out how to use it, and I think it was like, it was an inexpensive brand. It, I don't know. It was very thoughtful of her to get it for me, but I don't think I'm going to use it. I got to pretend to use it, or somebody's going to get their feelings hurt, and I don't want that to happen. So maybe you could come over sometime and wear it for me.
Just walk around the house. This is a fantastic watch.
Yeah,
where'd
yeah.
you get this?
Exactly.
Gosh, this is the bomb.
All right. Well,
something like that?
What a great idea. Hey, I'm going to step away for 2 minutes. What do you want to talk about while I'm gone?
Not watches, but something else, hopefully.
How about the S&P? I've got it up. It's above our highest weekly trading zone.
Okay.
It looks right now for all the world like we're going to close above the highest weekly trading zone. Now, it was either last week or the week before that it looked like this too, and somehow we managed to come back down and close inside of the zone. Is that going to happen this week? I don't know, but we'll find out in a couple hours. So I'll leave you with that thought. I'll leave this chart up, and I'll just be right back, okay?
Okay, very good.
All right.
Well, let's take a look at the S&P, and let's think about it a little bit. Where we are now, you know, we're very close to all-time new highs. We had put out this morning that and I even mentioned yesterday on the program that in spite of the fact that we had a daily top that was indicated, that they had not yet hit the important price that we would associate with that top. And if you recall, I mentioned that the price was 2103, 2104. And so you can see the value of that, because that kept us from wanting to short the market. In spite of yesterday's close on the downside, the market still went up today and completed the 2103.04. That's a pretty important event. So in our world, if we were to close today below 2103, we would have to consider that to be the more bearish close, even though we're up here high at near the highs. But if we close above 2103, or especially if we were to close above 2106, that would be particularly bullish. So between 03 and 06, pretty important set of conditions there. And the market is, you know, really been acting well, aside from just, you know, reaching 2103. They internally, just the way that they're trading and the way that they opened today and all that, they're trading very well. So that's one of the main things that we're watching with regard to today's daily close and what we would do with that, you know. And we're looking through the charts now to see if there's something we can do intraday here. We've already had a trade a little bit earlier today on the long side, but there may be something else before the day is out that we can take advantage of on an intraday basis. And we will, you know, if you're in our group, you would have a messenger window up that would give you intraday information about what we think is the most probable move for the market. We're not guessing, and we're not betting. I think betting and guessing might be similar, but we're using a number of methodologies to determine what the more likely move is. Going back to that question about the pastor, I mean, I don't want to hammer that too much, but I wonder what he would say if he would witness some of the forecasting that is possible with the markets, to be able to say, hey, we're here now, but in the third hour of Tuesday, we're going to be way up over here, and see that actually happen. I wonder what he would say about that, other than calling me Satan. You know, I'm saying in a realistic thing that he would say, because I'm certainly not Satan. I'm just somebody who has studied the markets extensively and have found that there's more to them than the average person would believe, you know, about their movements and about what is likely to happen and so on. So having said that, I do want to also say that, you know, in the beginning for me, and for many years, this was very difficult, and I threw away a lot of money. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with what he said, because it does ultimately prove out to be true until those skill sets get developed. So, Duane, you're back. I hear you.
I'm back, buddy.
Okay. Well, I was just mentioning that we had talked yesterday about the important price of 2103 to 2104 for this particular potential top that we had put in, but they had not reached that price yet, and that today they did, and that is a good example of, you know, not being tempted in to a trade based on the market's movement unless they, you know, the important turns occur at important prices. And in this case, there may not even be a turn. This could possibly be a breakout. And if it is, that would imply certainly all-time new highs, substantial movement to the upside. And just, you know, the amazing endless bull run continues and may well continue all the way through this year. It's quite possible that, you know, with the usual pullbacks, but bad news seems to move this market more than good news does, that's for sure. And we can say that because we've had almost nothing but bad news for 6 years, economically and in many, many other ways. I was asking somebody who's much older than me today about, not much older, but sorry if he's listening, but he's decently older than me. If, you know, if he felt that the world right now was in the worst condition that he had ever seen it, and he said, no, it's not in the worst condition in a given area, but it's in the worst condition sort of in a broad way, meaning that it's, there's all kinds of things going on. And I've said this before, you know, I worry about, speaking of the bad news, I worry about ISIS and ISIL or whatever you want to call them, who are advancing at a very, very high rate of speed. And it almost appears from my vantage point that America is allowing that, doesn't really want to step in and do anything about it. And very much like the dentist, if you have tooth pain and don't go now, it's just going to be a lot worse later. I worry that you know, they have ambitions that go far beyond their locality there, and that they are a present danger to the United States, just in the same way that the Twin Towers.
Who's their leader? Who's the head guy in charge over there?
I don't remember his name, but they show him from time to time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I find it interesting that, like, you know, Osama bin Laden was the big guy, was the bad guy, and you heard his name more than the group he represented. With the ISIS, you hear the group name. See, I don't even know the name of the head guy. So a little different dynamic there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Wonder why that is.
He may not want you know, his the tag put on his head as much as Osama bin Laden, because as much as they tell other people to go die and go get their 40 virgins and so on, they themselves, strangely enough, aren't that interested in doing that.
Yeah, I'll take my 40 virgins over on Hollywood Boulevard, pick me up at 9, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, but you know, the paparazzi, it's a real pain in the rear, so maybe that's it. Guys, 62% fib extension for those who do such things, from this swing low to this swing high to this pivot low, pullback, leg, retrace, leg. We are hitting a 62% fib retracement at the, or fib extension at the moment. Now, that's just a mathematical thing. That tool is in almost every trading package. If you are interested in it and don't know how to use it, when we go into the after show today, if we go into the after show, because we've already done all the recap, but if someone needs help using that tool, I don't use it a lot. Every now and then, if I have a question, if I want to use it to confirm something, or I find myself pulling it out now and again. So if you want to know, let me know. Now, David was looking for a daily top in bonds. This comes from Ed W.
Okay.
Yesterday, prices have continued to be strong. What is his current outlook?
Yeah, also, let's take a look at bonds.
Okay, and also in gold. Well, let's look at bonds, and then we'll finish the question on the gold.
Okay, just a sec. In the bond market, we are right at a critical juncture here in the bond market. We would have to close today, and we're open to anything happening here. We're not yet. We have not put out a trade based on this of any kind because the market's in a strong position, and that is prompting us to use extra caution here. But if we were to close today above 164.08 by anything more than a tick or so, we would probably leave this alone, and we would wait until Monday possibly to take any new action in the bond. So we're looking at it. Just the way they got here, you know, the rally, if you look at a daily chart, I don't, you know, he may
this
have a chart
daily up right here.
Yeah. Just this advance is particularly powerful advance that they had. They walked through everything. We didn't forecast this advance, but just the movement itself, very, very powerful, very, somewhat unusual. So we're saying, you know, this is ties in with the Fed announcement and so on. We are going to see how they close today, and we would take some action in bonds, possibly, on the downside if they did something next week. And like I've said so many times, and I want to repeat again, it's very tempting to get into positions based on the idea that you don't want to miss out. But I have found that driving force, that I don't want to miss out, is usually accompanied with a bad decision. So I think that's not something that you should focus on. Not that Ed is focusing on that, but we like to wait. And sometimes by waiting, we get a second opportunity to short it or to do something in the markets that's right at the critical levels, and we get the whole move anyway. And then plenty of other times, we don't get the whole move, but we get a nice part of that move. But we get that with greater certainty. And if there's anything that's destabilizing about trading, is losses. It's not winning or earning money. I don't like to use the term winning, but it's not earning money that causes traders all their grief. It's losing money. You know, it's not how much money you earn that makes you wealthy, if wealthy is what you're trying to be. It's how much money you don't spend that makes you wealthy, right? I mean, if you spend all your money, you don't have any left. So it's not even
doesn't matter how much you make if you spend it all.
If you spend it all, you don't have it. So it's how much you don't spend that will determine how wealthy you are. So when somebody says, "Oh, I made $14 million," last year, well, that sounds good, but you might be like Nicolas Cage and spend all of your $150 million, which is what he did. You know, he earned all that money in the movies, and he virtually spent all of it on really huge, big-ticket items like castles and a fleet of 8 Rolls Royces and a jet and a whole fleet of boats.
A fleet? Needs a fleet?
he did. I think in his mind, he may have had some of that, I need to really make the big statement about the visual statement about this goes back to that thing that there's compulsions in people. They may be well beyond those compulsions in their normal day-to-day life, but when they have an opportunity to express them, they do. And his compulsion seems to be to have all of the, tick off the boxes for rich people. What is it that makes you look rich? Well, I've got the 8 Rolls Royces. I've got the 2 castles. I've got the, 4, summer homes. All of that stuff that he never visits, never does anything with, those are just, it really does. If you look at the list of things, it looks like he just ticked off the boxes. It has a sense of unreality to it. His manager, as the story goes, warned him not to do that. And then, of course, right at the worst possible time, he got into the IRS problem and so on. And so he had kind of a mini crash. And if he does continue to earn good money, which I think he's very capable of doing, he will be a much wiser steward of his income, and he won't be so fast to spend it. And I think the real reason he spent it all was because he wanted to have the, or at least this was a part of it. It appears to me that he wanted to have the external stuff that rich people have to be able to say, "Hey, I'm one of those guys. I'm one of the guys." And that's a big compulsion with people. I want to sit in the chair. I want to, whatever the thing is, they want to be able to say that. And then when you get there, you find out that wasn't really, that first doesn't really do it for you, and secondarily, that now you're worried about losing it. Right. You're just banging back and forth from one wrong, boneheaded idea to another. That's why a lot of these people that, you know, the lottery winners and so on, that's, we've seen the stories about them. They make a lot of money, or even traders who make a lot of money, or even gamblers who make a lot of money. The poker player people, there's many of them that have made millions of dollars, and then later they've somehow, they've worked their way back down to losing it, you know, all. So it's you have to get to a point where you start realizing, and I'm sure many of the listeners do, that the business of your life is not to show other people what you have. If that is the business of your life, your motivations themselves, those low motivations, are going to keep you in trouble. They're going to keep you from getting those things, and if you get lucky enough to get them, you're going to lose them. It's just something about that, pride before a fall. And why do you want other people to see you that way? Why do we want other people? Because we want to feel admired, and we want to feel some self-worth. And your self-worth, if it's connected to money, is not worth. If you need money to feel like you're a good person, a special person, a valuable person, then I can assure you that when you get money, you're not going to feel special. You're going to feel egotistical, you're going to brag about it, you're going to make bad decisions, and you're going to throw it all away anyway. So your real self-worth as a person is in a dramatically different place than what other people think of you or you know, speak of you well, you know. And that's a big thing. That's a very big thing for people. You know, it's, I'm not speaking down to people as if I'm out of that, but I'm telling you that I've, for, in my own life, I've made my own, you know, realizations about the ridiculousness of living a life based on that kind of thing. And I think people that have certain financial problems might want to look at their motivations for what they're
Richard
doing.
Richard asked, wasn't that Wesley Snipes and not Nicolas Cage that happened?
Wesley Snipes also had a problem with, I think it was taxes as well, but Nicolas Cage definitively did. And okay. I've told you, he eats over at the restaurant right. that I eat at, and I see him there from time to time. And he's just like he is in the movies. He looks the same. He acts the same. You know, he looks great. He really does. He's just real low-key brooding. You know, he's just a brooding person. He's just sitting there looking at his tea, and he's brooding, and he, you know, it's kind of a serious look on his face. You know, and I wish him the best. You know, I hope he does well in whatever movies he's making. And you know, some of us are lucky enough to have a second chance, a second time around, to, you know, get things right and manage things correctly. So,
well, part two of Ed's question was, also in gold, does David think we may have a multi-week bottom in?
Let me double check over there in gold, and I'll give you a little bit. We talked quite a bit about gold today in the meetings, that we have certainly, we've had a nice advance off of the bottom here, and gold itself, like many other markets, has a top that's due on Monday, and so we'll see how gold treats that. So far, they've done very well on the upside. Delightful run here. We may actually have some more on the upside. We talked about this morning. There may be further advance necessary in gold, but I don't have a trade out on it yet. And if you ask me the question about the weekly bottom, I would tell you definitively that there is, and we talked about this with our group either, the week of March 9th was the last important weekly reflected wave bottom. And that bottom actually occurred 1 week late this week, and now we're moving up. So if you said to me, can I just go long? Well, if you're willing to sit through a potential some pullback on the daily chart off the daily top, which may come in at even higher prices than we are now, yes, because I think over the several-week period, we're probably going to be at higher prices. There should be a pretty good advance that continues off this bottom. So I like the idea of selling put premium. I like the idea of, you know, simply being long with the understanding that it's a longer-term hold and you're going to sit through some stuff, but you're going to have a decent run off of this bottom. I do think that's the case. So there you are. Now, Duane, I have a couple of charts I can show, and I'd like the fellow to get his pastor online so I can show him what my form of gambling looks like. Why don't you get him online here?
There you go.
Tell him, as long as he promises not to call me Satan, because I can do this.
No promises.
Yeah. Because this has nothing to do, and I'm going to take me a minute here, what I'm going to show has nothing to do with any supernatural skills or any, you know, deal with the devil. It's just simply an understanding of the markets. Okay, this week, today's Friday, we have had 14 tradable indications of the kind that I'm going to go through here. We'll make a quick review of them. And let's start on the chart on the left. This is FANG, which is Diamondback Energy. There's a snake called the Diamondback, and Dwayne pointed out the other day, and I wonder if they even thought of that when they put this together. Because when they came up with the idea of Diamondback Energy, they didn't necessarily have the symbol yet. So maybe the people who make the symbols came up with that. I don't know. But that was good. I think that's a good connection. Anyway, we were looking for FANG, which was trading at $70.50 or so. It could be bought for an advance to $73 to $73.10. And they got up to $72.80. So we didn't quite get there, but we got the goodness out of the deal. We got a pretty good move up there. And that's what we were looking for in FANG. We'll see if they can get any higher later. I'll go through them one after another here. Behind that, here's copper. We instructed people to buy copper for a quick advance to $264.50 to $265. At the time, they were at $261. These are 60-minute bars. You certainly had to sit through some overnight and Globex, you know, stuff here. And then suddenly, there's the move, and the market moved right up to $265.15. So now that isn't a guess that they were going to move up to $265. That is a skill that they are going to move up to $265. We weren't rolling the dice. That was something that is part of the skill. Speaking to the fellow that asked the question, here your pastor should know that on March 18th, the S&P should test 295 to 296 into tomorrow. Now, how could we know that with the market at 284, that the market was going to go up 11 points and go to 295 to 296 into the next day? Well, that's exactly what it did, though. So we weren't betting on that. We weren't gambling on that. We had a very good insight that that was the most likely thing that was going to happen. In fact, in many of these cases in the market, I would say the likelihood of the thing that we're forecasting is stronger than the likelihood that you'll make money on your own home buying it. That's how strong it is in some cases. It's very powerful. The odds can be very, very powerful in your favor, or at least equal to what an ordinary investment would be. Wednesday, copper is expected to decline to at or near 255. We're trading at 257, so that's a $500 per contract move. Lo and behold, copper moves down to 255.25. Okay. No need to make a deal with Satan to know that information. No need to have any kind of special insight into the world of the mystical. This is all scientifically done, and it's done by anybody could do it if they have the skill. It's not something that I personally bring to the table that no one else could bring. In the middle here, this is corn. Corn was trading at 371. May corn will likely advance to 381. We traded this. They moved from 371 up to 380.4. It's pretty close to 381. And they later sold off from there, as you can see. Now, we're higher today. We're up at 385 here. No deal necessary with Satan to know that. In the middle here, any advance from here, where the blue line is, can be shorted for a later decline to 254. This all happened this week. Here's the market. The market advanced. You short it, and it went straight down to 254, made a low of 252. We're not guessing that the market is going to go up and can be shorted to 254. We know with a high probability that that's the likely thing that's going to happen. So that certainly was not a gamble. That's guessing two moves in advance, an advance and then a decline to a very specific number. What would the odds be if you were guessing that? Not good. Tuesday this week, further advance to 268 to 269 is expected. We're at 262, and the market ran right up to exactly 269. I wonder if you had your pastor name a number in the market and...
Oh, don't keep picking on his pastor.
Just making his point. and saying, what would the odds be that the market's going to hit that exact number? You know, in this session, and go and just to that number. The odds are not good. But if you have a skill that you've developed, the odds get much, much better. And the more you develop that skill, the better you can put that together. Let me show you one or two others here. I'm sorry if I'm hammering on the pastor too much, but I'm not saying it in a sarcastic way. He's making a statement that's probably true in most cases, that most times people are gambling the market. I made that clear earlier, that he actually, in general, I agree with him. But I also want to point out the other side of it that he doesn't know about, which is that there is a skill set that you can develop, that anyone can develop, that would allow you to do what I'm showing you here. Monday, March 16th, market's likely to go up to 259 to 260. We're at 255. They made a swing high of 259.50. And finally, the last few here on the right-hand side, this was a 5-minute Friday. This was today. A test or attempt at 2098. This was just 5 minutes after the open today. This is a 5-minute chart. Test or attempt at 2098 is likely. The market went sideways for many 5-minute bars and shot straight up to 2100, which is very close to 2098, obviously a little bit beyond that. That was just a quick indication of where the market was likely to go. That means you have direction, and you have a price that it's going to go to, and you even have the when that it's going to get there. That is not guessing. The week of February 9th in our stocks, a weekly close above 66 is a buy for an advance to 69.40 or higher into the week of March 23rd. This is the week. This is a weekly chart here. So this is the week we gave that out. The market on that week closed at 66.67. So that's above $66. And here's the week we're talking about. 1 week early, the market made a high of $70.31, slightly above the 69.40 that we forecast. Now, that's 2 weeks later. There's a lot of news, there's a lot of paper, a lot of stuff going on, and the market went right to where exactly it should go to. Here's the E-mini on March 18th of this week. Watch for a test of 2085 to 2084 into tomorrow's early session. So the market's closing, and we're saying tomorrow, in spite of the news, in spite of all kinds of events, the market is very likely to touch 2085 to 84 in the early session. And lo and behold, in the next day's early session, here's the market testing 2085-84. They made a low of 2081.25. That's 7 points of movement there. Wednesday, March 18th of this week, hourly or daily close below 109.20 should be shorted for a decline to 107.45 to 107.25. This is in the euro. This is the currency. The market did close. It did test 109.20. It did close the hour below it at 108.98. And it did, in fact, go straight down to 107.45 to 107.25. We picked up $2,500 per contract on that. This is not a guess. This is a skill. Over here, that's Thursday, March 12th. Okay, this leads us into this week. On this particular stock, Garmin, on the 60-minute, watch for Garmin to touch 47.50 to 47.30 into early next week, which is buying territory. So we're forecasting that it's here now at 48.70, but into early next week, it's going to go down and touch 47.50 to 47.30, and that is buying territory. Well, lo and behold, hour by hour, the market went down, and early this week, on Monday, it went down to 47.29. That's 47.30. And lo and behold, that was buying territory for the stock, and it advanced. That's three forecasts. That's the market's here, and it's going to go down. That's forecast one. It's going to go down into early next week. That's forecast number two. It's going to go down and touch 47.30. That's forecast number three. And it's going to be buying territory for an advance. That's forecast number four. That's four separate forecasts. All of them came true in this one move. What do you think the odds of guessing that or betting on that or gambling to make that happen are? Very, very poor. And yet we put this out in front of thousands of people, both on the radio station and here. So my point is that your pastor's correct. It's mostly gambling, but it doesn't have to be. It depends on the person and his skill set, as we said originally. And you can go back with this information in your mind anyway, and you can know that there's more to this than meets the eye, that if you want to, you could do very well at this. All you have to do is practice for 25 years. No, all you have to do is practice and learn more about it, because there is something to it. Everything, in my view, everything in the universe is under law. All of it. The whole shooting match. Every little drop of rain that's falling from the sky, its placement, where it's going to land, it's all under law. That doesn't mean it's predestined exactly, but it means that the laws that are here are in effect. And the same thing is true with market movements. Everything I showed you today is based on science. It's not based on gambling or betting. So I hope that's useful to the fellow if he's still listening to us. And that's everything we did this week. And if you do have an interest in checking this out, or if your pastor wants to take up gambling, he can come to pagetrader.com, just joking about the gambling, and our products are called William's Edge for Futures, William's Edge for Stocks, William's Edge for the S&P, and he can check out what we're doing, or you can check out what we're doing. I don't really think your pastor's going to be interested. But one last thing I'll say about this. Like anything else, it takes quite a bit of work to get through the emotional and the methodology and all that stuff. It does help to have a methodology that's being taught to you, what happens on this radio station, the teaching and all that stuff. That's all good because it helps direct your attention away from the bad and towards the good. And we don't deal with brand new people ourselves, but we do deal with people, and we do our own kind of form of teaching as well. So it's a good thing to take a look at various different ways of doing this and put it together and come up with your own, you know, special, unique way of putting it together in your own trading. So there you are. There's your answer. Dwayne, I handed those back to you.
All right. Okay. And we're back. Okay. Let's go see what else we got in the chat box here. Bob G., if you're logged in, I just sent you the file you requested. So if there's anything else you need, email support@cfrn.net or call 949-42-E-MINI. Oh, Hamilton, somebody had just asked early on in the show if what the difference was between gambling and trading, and so David's still milking it. 2 hours later, or an hour later, he's still running with that thing. He's a dog with a bone. He won't let go. Sue says, most people do not have skill like you, David, but everyone has skill to gamble, so most people end up gambling in the stock market. Well, that's a nice opinion there, Sue.
Yeah. I wouldn't say most people don't. I think there are, and Sue, I appreciate that you saying that, but I want to tell you that not everybody who has skills is out there on a radio program. Not everybody, you know, is doing, you know, showing the public what they're doing. But there are people out there that have skills on their own level. But I do, again, agree that most people that get involved with this, generally because of compulsion and emotional stuff, and I deal with it myself, so no one's speaking down, that stuff really creeps up and can damage even the very best of methodologies. So the emotional side of this is really where people get messed up. They get angry, and that anger is negativity, and negativity has no really positive outcome, but most people switch into anger very quickly, even Christians, by the way. They switch into anger. If you don't show it, it doesn't mean you're not feeling it. Stop kidding yourself. I'm not talking to Sue. I'm talking to everybody. Just because you don't show it, don't kid yourself that you don't have it. Be honest and admit that you have it. That's the first step. And, you know, putting on a show for people that you're, you know, this blissful little floating lotus petal that never gets angry is a bunch of nonsense. We do get angry, and that anger is negativity, and that negativity forces us into actions and behavior that is bad for us. And in the end, that same kind of thing happens in the markets as well. So the markets have a way of frustrating people, causing them to be negative, and no matter what methodology they're using, it ends up blowing up. So I think if I had to guess the reason why there's so much failure in people doing well in the markets, it certainly is maybe – partially, I don't know, Dwayne, 20% maybe of it would be based on methodology, but I think probably 80% or more of the reason people fail in this is because they have not conquered negative emotions in themselves. They know how to hide them from other people. They know how to smile when they're angry, but they don't know how to not feel it. They haven't gotten to that point yet. All they know is the show. And you have to go beyond the show if you're going to clear up that stuff in your life so that it doesn't affect your trading and make you one of the 80% that lose because of emotions. That's what crushes most people, negative emotions. There you are. In trading, in investing.
Emotions, yep. You got to get rid of them. You got to separate your emotions from your thinking, from your ability to. I mean, if you're working in a widget factory, every time you make a widget, you can't get all emotional about it. If you're making a widget and you mess it up, you throw it over your right shoulder or left shoulder into the waste bin, wherever you throw messed up widgets, and then you start making another one. And hopefully this one comes out right. And, of course, there's a supervisor somewhere with a clipboard keeping score and determining if you are a profitable widget maker or not. And, you know, your job depends on that, that you're able to, in X number of hours, create X number of widgets that can be sold or used in the creation of some other larger widget, etc. So you got to learn how to not take it personal. If who you are as a person, as a man, as a trader lies or relies on the outcome of your next trade, man, you are in for such a painful, painful emotional roller coaster ride. It's just, you don't want to go there. You'd rather flip burgers at McDonald's. I promise you, you have somehow got to separate yourself. We focus a lot on that. Mark Douglas's book, Trading in the Zone, which is available to each and every one of you in this radio audience today at no charge. I'm going to put the link into the chat box right now. Our sponsor, Audible, will give you Audible. Audibletrial.com/CFRN. Audibletrial.com/CFRN. There we go. Everybody's got it. Now, they want you to take a free trial. If you take their free trial, they'll give you a free gift. The free gift is your choice of any one of the 100,000 audiobooks that they have for sale. If you cancel before your free trial is over, they give you 2 weeks or a month. They switch it back and forth. But as long as you cancel before your trial is up, you won't be billed a penny. No one will call you and ask you why. Nobody will get angry or upset with you. It's just a very straightforward transaction. If you'll take our free trial, we'll give you this free gift. Good news is if you choose to cancel your free trial, if you choose to cancel before your free trial is up, you get to keep the book for life, forever. It's a 7.5-hour audio book, and the whole book is dedicated to that very concept of learning to think in probabilities, which in and of itself removes the emotions from the equation. You no longer think of yourself as good or bad. You no longer think of your trade outcome as right or wrong. And when you stop operating under that cloud, it's amazing how your production output increases to the upside. It's like a Disney movie. It's a new day. Not a cloud in the sky, little bluebirds chirping all around your head. I mean, there's no seven dwarves, but hey, I can't do everything for you, but go Go read that book. It's free. If you go into a bookstore and buy the hardcover copy, it's going to cost you $40. If you buy it off Amazon, paperback, or from Mark's site, I think you're going to pay $20, $25. If you buy the audiobook, you're going to pay, I think, $25. But it's my gift to you, free today, courtesy of our sponsor. You can download it now. 30 minutes from now, less than 30 minutes from now, you can be actually listening to the book that has the ability to change your trading forever. Not because it's going to teach you a trade setup. It's not going to show you a new indicator or oscillator or tune you into some kind of chat room. It's going to talk to you about how you think about trading, your whole thought process. Every one of us comes into this thing with our mind tied in a knot, because this business is different than any other business. In every other business, or in most businesses, most professions, you're expected to get it right most of the time. That widget maker even is expected to get it right most of the time. Pilots, no do-over. Interestingly enough, an awful lot of our clients are pilots. Doctors, no do-over. Yet we have an awful lot of doctors. And they have to go from a profession where they're expected to be right every time to a task that now, if they're right 70% of the time, they're in the higher echelon. There's that 30% room for error, margin for error, and it's hard to make that transition. It's also hard to believe that because you were a successful business owner and ran a business with X number of employees for so many years and did this and did that, it's hard to believe that you can't just walk right into this trading business and start firing from the hip and just killing it. Welcome to Humilityville, because you're about to get humbled. So go slow, trade small, don't get ahead of yourself, read that book, and if you read that book and really let it sink in, it will save you years and thousands of dollars. I know it did it for me, and I have had literally hundreds of traders write me and call me and thank me for this free gift, because now they see the world, the business of trading, through a different lens, through completely different eyes. The pressure is off of their shoulders. They are productive, and they're happy, and life's good. So there you go, my free gift to you. Click away. Yes, the title of the book, Dan, is Trading in the Zone. Now, there's two books by that title. Make sure you get the one written by Mark Douglas. Lives right out here in Scottsdale. Nice fellow. He's got a third book coming out. Should have been out already, but he said it could take a while. He said it will be his final book, and I said, well, you're still a young man. Why will it be your final book? He said, because when I finish the third book, there won't be any more questions. And we were at lunch, and I was like, wow, that's a heavy statement coming from you. He goes, well, I do mean it. And so he has agreed that once the third book is out, he will be paying some visits and spending some time with us here on the radio program. So I still look forward to that. It was last fall when we met, last summer. But anyway, I'll reach out to him and see where we are on that book. One more time, Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. John asks, if you want to consider gambling, at least it's a 50-50 chance scenario in the market if you have no knowledge of it at all. In gambling, you'll never get that good of odds anywhere, especially on a slot machine. Well, the Vegas casinos, a lot of the slot machines have a 98% payout. They do that just to get people in. And I think you can actually do worse than 50-50 if you have no knowledge. How's that possible? I don't know, but I've seen it happen to some people.
You know, I just want to throw something in there, Dwayne, about that 98%, because I kind of agree with him. Just everybody sees that 98% payout thing. It there's no such thing as a 98% payout because...
Well, they better take that sign down.
They better take the sign down because it's the sample size that allows you to say 98% of what, right? Is it 98% of forever? Is it always 98%? No, it doesn't work that way. It's 98% under a certain set of conditions, but you can have a set of conditions on a slot machine, and you can sit there for 2 hours and only be able to win, you know, four times. I mean, I've seen people do it. The slot machine is just not giving it to them. So 98% of what is, should be the question.
It's programmed, programmed by the state to pay back 98% of what's put in.
That's
now,
correct.
You may not be the guy, you know, you may not put $100 in and get back exactly 98. But when they're audited, however and whenever it is that they're audited, if they're advertising 98% payout, their records have to be able to prove that of the $1 million that went in, $980,000 came back out. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. And one of the other tricky things about that statement is, not that you were being tricky, but just that the statement is that getting 98% of your money back speaks nothing to your winning. It just means you're going to get 98% of whatever you put in back. You know, where's the winning? If you put in $100, you get 98 back. Well, but what does that speak to how often you win? No. But it sure sounds like it does, doesn't it? Sure sounds like there's some winning thing in there, but it has nothing to do with winning. It's just telling you you're going to get 98% of $100 when you put it in their back over some long period of time. So one other thing, and then I will have to go, and I would like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend and so on. One exercise that I have found very valuable on the emotional side of trading and the emotional side of life is if you're not ready to work directly with your own emotions without, you know, subtracting everybody else, watch how easily we are all infected by other people's negative emotions. So you're around somebody who's really angry, a friend of yours or something, and watch yourself and see how you try to get to his level because he's mad. You, whatever it is that you do, they infect you with their negative emotion. And if you'll practice staying separate from his emotion, understanding that there is a gap between you and him, and it's not, it's, there's no rule that says you're supposed to feel negative because he or she feels negative. If you can kind of get that down a little bit, you'll find that the next step is now to do that with your own emotions. But do it with somebody else first because we're all infected by other people. You know, people are happy and giddy and laughing and we start laughing and that's okay. But it's the negative emotions. Watch how you act around other people. Sometimes you might feel guilt because you feel you should be doing something. Yeah, who knows what it is. But recognize that you are being infected. And that's a start to uninfecting yourself from other people and what they unknowingly are doing to you by infecting you. And it really works. And at some magic moment, you'll be able to sit in front of a person who's completely negative, be able to help them only because you are not infected with what they're trying to infect you with. It's the moment you're uninfected by it, now you can be helpful to them. Now you can do something with them. But as long as you're infected by them, which most of us are, you know, we're infected by other people, you really don't have any business trying to help them because you've got infected by them. And you'll know the difference. You'll feel the freedom, that sense of freedom. It's a wonderful thing. Then later you can take that to the next step, which is doing that with your own thoughts and feelings and so on. And it's really a remarkable thing. And ultimately the goal is to be happier, to have less negative influence, and to not allow a turn in the market or something that was unfortunate in the markets to turn you into a losing machine, which is what happens to most people once their emotions get clicked in like that. So there you are. That's my suggestion. Dwayne, we stayed a long time today. I'll see you on Monday, and I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend and be back on Monday with you.
David, have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. See you guys then.
All right, bud. Okay, guys, we are heading into the final few here. On this Friday, the 20th day of March, 2015. Now, based on historical observance, the market today will close at 2,100 or below. Does it have to? Is it a law? No. It's just that when we created, or I created, the weekly trading zones seven, then Michael and I traded them for quite a while. Then we made them available to the public 5 years ago on this past December 14th, made 5 years. What we noticed over a period of time, that's what I mean by historical observance, was that price almost always closed below the high, at or below the highest zone, or at or above the lowest zone, repeatedly, again and again and again. So it was either last week or the week before where it was very dramatic. I mean, just like in the final few minutes, it rushed up to close right at the number. Now, whether it does today or not, we have no trade on that, so there's no profit issue at stake, whether we'll make money or lose money if it does or if it doesn't. It's just an interesting thing to watch and to see how it plays out. So, now, I did draw a fib extension, and I'll show you one more time how I did that for those of you that are interested in the tool here. It's not one I use a lot, but when I have a need for it or a call for it, it's nice to know how to use it. It may look different on your platform, but it should say Fibonacci price extensions. And so I'm taking this last leg up on the hourly chart, and I'm going from the swing low to the swing high, which was our highest weekly trading zone. And then the little pendant that hangs down, you drag that over to the most recent swing low. And so that number that David was talking about, the 2103, 2104 number, as we can see, this 62% retracement is actually at 2106. And the swing high was 2106, and what was that one? It's like 2106.68. So my point is that it's an area. So where he had 0304, shot a little higher, 06, turns out it is an extension. Now there's a number above there at 2123. There's another number there at 2162. Often you'll hear numbers that are projected above where the market's been before, and you'll go, wow, where do people get those kinds of numbers? Sometimes this might be where they get them from, using the golden ratio, Fibonacci. Now, you can use Fibonacci to do this, to create a price extension. In other words, to tell you from this pullback here, where mathematically based on the concept of the work Leonardo Fibonacci did in the 13th or 14th century, wherever he did that, where the next likely place could be. Now, as soon as price made this low, you could have drawn this, and these numbers would have been the same. Did price go to the 38% target? Yes. Did it go to the 50% target? Yes. Did it go to the 61.8 target? Yes. Will it go to the 21 or the 100% target? I have no idea. In order to do that, it will have to reverse course, and it will have to take out this high. If it's going to do that, we can track it and we can know it on our 4-tick range chart. Let me walk you through one more time the recap on the S&P for today. Let's back it up. The initial move was a stop out to the downside. I'm sorry, to the upside. One more tick would have made it break even, like this guy. We had an 8-tick move and then the S&P flew away. Yesterday, on the other hand, the S&P was flush with trades. And let me find that real quick, and I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. Let's try that again. There we go. That'll do the trick. Okay. Robert McClure, he did it. He put it up there. I'd be interested in a discussion about trading and how, if it is not, or if you feel it is, gambling in the biblical sense, i.e. that Christians or Jews shouldn't gamble. What about lotto, poker, games of chance? Is it different if you were a professional poker player or learned blackjack card counting so you mathematically have the advantage versus just hoping on luck? Once you develop a skill set that allows you to be profitable on a regular basis, you'll no longer have this question. This question goes away when you become profitable. Got four comments so far. I look at it as a job, and that is all. There's somebody who's found profitability. Gambling is just a game of chance. If I was a trader and playing cards and I knew what was in everyone's hand, an educated trader knows his markets. It wouldn't guarantee me to be a winner, but I would know when to get in and when to get out. That's not gambling. That's trading. That sounds like profitability. Let's see. Daniel says, trading is not gambling. It is based on probabilities of a trade winning versus the trade losing. Yeah, and I'd like to lose those words, winning and losing, because I don't, when I go to work every day, you know, it's like, hey, honey, wish me luck, or, you know, I'm going to go win some money today. I go to work to earn a living. That's how I view it. That's how I think about it, earning. Even poker players and blackjack players play hands based on probabilities. If trading was gambling, I would bet there wouldn't be so many big-time players in the industry making so much money like Goldman Sachs, etc. Also, we need money to live. The love for money is actually the love for life. Without money, we can't live. We could discuss that. We could get granular on that statement. As far as purchasing expensive meals and worthless items, I've never heard of an item being worthless except for maybe drugs and alcohol and tobacco, etc. People's jobs and the economy are dependent on these items being purchased. If everyone quit buying things, the world would stop going around and the economy would come to a halt, in my opinion. And yes, a lot of movies are worthless, but some are good. There are even Christian movies out there you can watch, and there are also some really bad Christian movies. Would you call them worthless? People need entertainment. We can't just sit and look at rocks all day long. That's true. I'm glad you put the question up there, and I encourage others to come and voice your opinion. Okay? Nobody's going to trash you or thrash you because of your opinion. If they do, I will delete their comment. So please feel free to speak freely, okay? That's what a discussion forum is all about. So I'm glad you got the ball rolling there, Robert. Good job. Now, let's go to the broadcast for yesterday right here. Okay. And let's go here. Now, the S&P yesterday, Thursday, based on Wednesday night's trade alerts, the market made available 8 ticks, a stop out, 8 ticks, 8 ticks, 8 ticks, 8 ticks, 8 ticks, 8 ticks. Did it make exactly 8 ticks available? No, it made 8 ticks plus available on almost every one of those moves. But for the purpose of the recap and the calculations, I always like to err on the side of being very conservative. So that's why I say that's what it made available. It may have made 12 available or 15 or 29. Once it exceeds the amount that we need to create the $100, so the goal, always go back to the goal, $100 per day per contract in 10 trades or less. So for the one contract trader, that's $100 a day. For the five contract trader, that's $500 a day. For the 10 contract trader, it's $1,000 a day. And I know that that's where most people really want to be. They want to be at that 10 contract level, come in, grab a couple points, make a grand a day, $5,000 a week. It's a nice way to live. Okay? Is that reality? Well, the S&P really exists. The S&P really does make the points available. Question is, do you have a skill set level ability that allows you to capture what the market makes available? Now, the previous day on Wednesday, based off the concierge alerts sent out Tuesday night, the S&P made available on that day 5, 5, 8, 8, 5, 8, 8. Then we had the Fed, where we paused trading. There were two long opportunities during the Fed, but not something we would trade because of the Fed. And then because prices were higher, there was nothing else triggered in the ES after the Fed announcement on Wednesday. So there's Wednesday, there's Thursday, and that brings us back to today, where prices have traded substantially higher. We start out with a stop out, with a break even, and with 8. And then the market begins to rally. So is there no way for the S&P trader to still trade this market? There is. Now, when we send out the alerts, I send out 8 markets, 2 trades per market. So that's 16 opportunities, okay? It's a long and a short, each of the 8 markets. But if you are a dyed-in-the-wool S&P trader, and that's what you want to trade, insert, indicators, CFRN, CFRN. Most days, the indicators are not required to be profitable in your chosen market on most days. But if this day got up and got away from you, remember the stop out, the break even, the 8. Basically, you're at break even with, you know, a few commissions breathing down your neck. Okay, do your math and come back. And it came back. Okay. Here we have a beautiful little bullish cross, price pulls away, price pulls back, up close by the open of the next candle. That's a 5-ingredient recipe that never changes. Not on a Tuesday, not on a rainy day, not even on the day when the bus driver wears a yellow shirt. It's always the same, long or short, okay? Now, the next viable trade setup that I see here comes over here. Here, on this one was viable. Bullish cross, price pulls away, price pulls back, physically touch, up close by the open of this candle. That would have stopped you out as well, okay? That trade right there, based on that recipe. Well, did it draw down 2 points? I think it did. The open of this candle, let's see, there was your up close. So the open of this candle, come on, you can tell me. Well, it's the same as the close of this candle. 98.50. Okay, so 96.50 would be the hard stop. And the swing low is 96.25. Okay? Bullish cross, price pulls away, price pulls back, up close by the open of the next candle. And there's a couple points. Bullish cross, price pulls away. And we don't get a pullback here. We do get the opportunity for this, which is Michael's momentum trade. Okay, and so the open of that candle, which is 20.40.50, up to 21.06.75. There is a couple of points in there. And so could you have taken additional out of the market above and beyond on the S&P? You could, but it's not what I recommend. Okay? I recommend that you have 2 to 3 markets that you're familiar with, okay, that you have spent some time with, you've been in the simulator with, you've practiced with, because if the S&P has traded up off of the playing field, why not go to a market where price is on the field, okay, as is the case here with crude oil. All right, the first trigger of the day on crude offered 8 ticks. In crude oil, you need 10 ticks to call it a day. Whether you're a one-contract trader or a 10-contract trader, 10 ticks fills the bill. So there's an 8-tick move followed by a 10-tick move. Tick move followed by a 10-tick move followed by this one. We needed to go 1 tick higher to trigger in. Rules-based trading. Got to follow the rules. As long as you follow the rules, you don't ever run into the woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of business, because people shoulda all over themselves all the time, and it will make you sick. Physically ill. Market makes 6 ticks available. And this is an 8-tick hard stop. As we advance through, we trigger on the long side. The first move on the long side is 10 ticks. Here again, we have a scenario where 1 tick lower would have triggered a trade. But it didn't. Okay? The rules say, in order to be in this move, this has to come 1 tick lower. It didn't. This here was just a beautiful 10-tick opportunity. And away we go. That was it for crude for today. Okay? All right. Hamilton, is this page available to outsiders or only for your partners? No, it's available for everybody. It's a Google Plus page. I'll put the link in the chat box. In fact, well, no. Here's a putting it in the chat box. Just go to the homepage, cfrn.net. Right here where it says, looking for our concierge trade alerts, click, and there you are. It's all right there. That's the easy way. Just remember, cfrn.net. Go to the homepage, our homepage, cfrn.net. Looking for our concierge trade alerts, click it. And go. Okay? All right. Let's see. Rob says, since it's at 61% S&P, is there more of a chance there'll be a retracement market going down? No, this isn't a retracement. This is an extension. Is that what you're referring to, Rob? That's a 62% Fib extension. That's a target, not a retracement. A retracement would be, if we wanted to measure the retracement of this move, we would take this tool and we would go from the swing low to the swing high, right there. This red line here would be a 62% retracement. What the market did do on this move from this swing low to this swing high, it made a 50% Fib retracement. Do you follow me on that, Rob? I'll take that as a yes. Okay. So, your question about, since it's at a 61% S&P, is there more of a chance that it will, that there'll be a retracement market going down? Yeah, hopefully you're still there and you heard what I just said and you'll be able to rephrase that question and then I can give you an answer. Okay. Hopefully. Great, Hamilton. Fantastic. Okay. Crude, we just covered that. The Russell. We already covered it. We're going to run through it again real quick because this is going to be the recap video for the day. All right, on the Russell, the alert for the Russell last night said to consider being long above 1256 or short below 1247. So we had a break-even, a beautiful 10-tick plus move. And then the Russell comes back, gives us another 10-tick plus move. And it gives us an 8-tick stop out. That's the truth about trading. Then the market makes 5 ticks available. Market makes 7 ticks available, and then the market makes 10 ticks available. If you want to earn a living trading just the Russell, how many ticks a day do you need? The answer is 10. That's all. 10. There's a 9-tick move. Now, did it actually go 10 plus? It did. But I'm going to assume, which I probably shouldn't, that once the market puts 9 ticks on the table right here, you're going to be trailing your stop at, 6 ticks at least. If you put it at 7, you've got a 50-50 proposition on your hands. If it goes 2 ticks north, that guarantees a fill at 10 ticks. If it comes 2 ticks south, that guarantees you get out with 7 ticks of profit. What a wonderful life. You're sitting at 9, one more tick, you're done for the day. Worst case, instead of going 2 ticks higher, it goes 2 ticks lower, which it did. And so you're out with 7 ticks of profit. That's 70% of your daily production in one trade. If you can learn to see it through that lens, the sky will be bluer, the sun will be brighter, the wind will be at your back, There's a nice 10-tick move. And then it's up, up, and away for the Russell. And that's where we are right now. Okay, the Euro, one more time. I think there was two trades in the Euro today, as I recall. Let's get on the right day. There we go. Okay. There's number one. There's an 8-tick move, a 5-tick move, a 6-tick move, and an 8-tick move. So there was four trades. No stopouts there. An 8. Market made 5 available. Market made 5 available. And another 8. Okay. And I don't believe it came back. Nope. Soybeans. Soybeans, long above 970, short below 958. Now, these are the numbers that were emailed to the partners and the clients and those on the trial last night. First move coming out of the gate today was good for 8 ticks. Soybeans pays $12.50 per tick, so 8 ticks is your $100 per contract per day. 8-tick move, 6-tick move, an 8-tick hard stop, and another 8-tick plus move. Here we are. Okay, gold. Gold, we started the day out with a 7-tick move, followed by a 8-tick hard stop, and an 8-tick hard stop. And then the market made 5 ticks available, and then the market made 10 ticks available, and then the market made 8 ticks, 10 ticks, 7 ticks, 10 ticks. How many ticks does it take to call it a day in the gold market? 10. 10 times 10 gives you your 100. So whether you're a 1 contract trader or a 10 contract trader, whether your daily pay is $100 or $1,000, 10 ticks in gold does the trick. And by the way, that's gross, not net. You just got to do it in 10 trades or less. And the blueprint we give you, the 2420 blueprint, when you come through the door as a partner or a client, tells you all about it. 5-tick move, 6-tick move, 5-tick move. 8-tick hard stop, 10-tick move, and I think that was it for gold. Okay, which market did we leave off on? Okay, so gold. That was it for the day on gold. All right. Why do I have two gold charts? Oh, I was using this one as a daily. I got it. Okay. And then we got the Dow. The Dow. Okay, the YM. Okay. The numbers were on the YM, consider being long, above 17,970 or short below 17,840. So here's 17,970 plus that one tick, because we want to be long above 17,970. And so the first move takes us to 76. So that's five. And this one takes us to 75, and so that is break even. It's a hard and fast rule, never changes. At four ticks, you move your stop to break even. And then we get our 20-point move. That's what it takes in the Dow, 20 points, times $5 per point. Is $100. If you are trailing very tightly at this point, okay, is it possible you were stopped out before you got to the 20 points? Yeah. What if you got stopped out right here? Okay. That candle closed at 80. So you would have had, if you got stopped out there on that pullback, you still walked away from the trade with nine ticks. That's almost, it's one tick shy of 50% of your daily production. Now, I don't think the Dow gives another opportunity. So you have to then go to, oh, maybe it does. If it doesn't, that's okay, because when I send you the alerts, there's eight markets. Two trades per market. Oh, there we go. That was very kind of the Dow. The Dow gave us here five ticks. And here it gave us a break even. At four ticks profit, the stop goes to break even. Always. No discussion. Use the automated strategy so you don't have to think about it. You don't even have to be fast. It will do the work for you. Reset, trigger, and a pretty straight up 20 point run. One tick is enough to reset the trade and trigger you on the northbound train. There's another 20 points. Remember, it only takes 120 points to get you done for the day. And that there so that's it. So we've recapped everything, we've checked it twice, got a pretty good idea of who's been naughty and nice. So we kind of have an idea as to why price ran up, based on math, to this area, stopped, and reversed. Now, there's no way we could have known this number ahead of time, okay, until this low, because see, this red line is based off of this low, this high, and this pullback. See, that's three things that you cannot know ahead of time. This low, even though we had pegged that as the high. Some would say, well, but you knew that. Well, We didn't know that on the Fed announcement that it was going to run up there, ring the bell, and to the tick, and reverse. It shows that there is some value in the work that we do, but, you know, we didn't know that ahead of time until this was in place, this was in place, and this was in place. Only then could this number be known as a 62% Fib extension. Now price is reversing off of that area. So we'll get rid of all these Fib lines. And now we'll just wait to see if price in fact does close the week at 2100 or below. Based on historical observance, because this is our highest weekly trading zone, based on the last 5+ years of work, that's what our work tells us, is that price will close at 2100 or below for the week close of business today. Remember, without an exact entry, stop, and target, it is you fill in the blank. It is worthless. It is people fooling themselves. It is a fantasy. You fill in the blank, okay? When we send out our concierge trade alerts, you have an exact entry. You have an exact stop. And you have an exact target. Can you trail your stop for a greater target? You can. But does each trade come with an exact entry, an exact stop, and an exact target? It does. Okay? So you have everything that you need. There's three legs on that stool. Okay? Any stool that doesn't have three legs is an unstable stool, and you should be very careful when you attempt to sit on it. Okay? So if you're working with anything that doesn't provide you with an exact entry, an exact stop loss, and an exact target, you might want to take a look. You might want to take a trial. Perhaps what we have to offer can benefit you. Taking the trial is the best way to find out. The best way to take the trial is to simply go to our site, cfrn.net, and there'll be opportunities on every page, practically. Now, there's two trials. One is to become a partner, and there's another trial for the concierge trade alerts. The only difference in the two is with the concierge alert trial, you actually get the alerts live in real time, just like the clients, for 5 trading days. If you take the partner trial, you get everything, which includes the trading room and the indicators and the private mentoring. You get everything except the alerts. Okay? So it depends upon what you're looking for, what your goal is. There is a substantial difference in price. The concierge alerts is an annual subscription. The partnership is a 90-day mentoring program, which you can remain in for as long as you want after the 90 days for $75 a month. Okay? So either way, very affordable based upon the possibilities that are open for you once you understand the methodology, how it works, once you get past the emotional roadblocks that come with trading. And please don't ever think that because you get heated up emotionally when you're in a trade with live money, that you're somehow flawed or different than other people. It happens to everyone. To the rich and the poor, to the tall and the small, to the big and the large, it's part of human nature. Okay? And so don't be hard on yourself. Just do the smart thing. Read that book I gave you the link to. It's a free book. It would cost you $40 if you walk into a bookstore. Cost you $20-$25 you buy it off the internet. But you download it for free today. And I will put that in here. And I'll respond. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Jeanette, but I'll find out. Hang on. HTTP. audibletrial.com/CFRN. audibletrial.com/CFRN. Okay. So, and again, the book you want, let me make sure you have that. Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. Make sure you don't get the other book because it won't help you. Michael asks, how do you come up with your trigger lines? Do you use part of Dave Williams' material? No. We use nothing from PageTrader or David. We don't use reflected wave. We don't use roadmaps. We don't use spatial relationship forecasting. Everything that we do is our own proprietary methodology. Now, Jeanette, let me go see what your question was and see how I responded or what I responded. Let me go find it. But it would be an educated gamble if you have the probabilities on your side. I don't recall responding to that question. Is that the question you're referring to, Jeanette? Oh, no. Okay, you've typed it in again. Thank you. Earlier I stated, as no person knows the nature of the next tick, going long or short may be deemed to be a gamble on what will happen next. But it would be an educated gamble if you have the probabilities on your side. Well, I agree with you 100%. Did I say something that sounded as though I disagreed with you? Because I don't. I agree with you 100%. Let me reread her question, folks. As no person knows the nature of the next tick, going long or short may be deemed to be a gamble on what will happen next. But it would be an educated gamble if you have the probabilities on your side. No, I support that 100%. In fact, you hear me say quite often. And I learned this reading the book I just gave you all, Trading in the Zone. You do not have to know what is going to happen next in the market to make money. The first time I read that statement, I thought, that's ridiculous. Of course you have to know what's going to happen next, or else you can't make any money in the market. I thought I had to be a prophet, a soothsayer, a fortune teller. I had to be able to know what was going to happen next if I was going to make any money. And that's what some folks want you to think. That's why we chase this endless array of indicators, oscillators, crystal balls, black boxes, gurus, trading rooms, magical time frames, because we think we need to know the future. When in fact, clearly stated in Mark's book, you do not need to know what's going to happen next to make money in the market. I just walked you through twice today a recap that proves out that statement. Last night, I had a sneaking suspicion the S&P was going higher. But I didn't know that because I don't have the ability to tell the future. I don't have a crystal ball. However, I knew that if it got above 87, it would be in our best interest to be long. And if somehow it got below 76, it would be in our best interest to be short. And so that's what I sent out. So without knowing what was going to happen in the S&P today, we had an opportunity to make a profit. The same is true of the Dow. The same is true of the Russell. The same is true of crude. The same is true of the Euro. The same is true of gold. The same is true of soybeans. Now that I think about it, did we ever look at the bonds? I don't know that we did. Hang on. Oh, we did. And I think we got, it was stopped out by one tick. Let's go look. I think the bonds might be the one market today where we did not have an opportunity to make a profit. Let me take a quick look. ZVM. And let's bring this down to four ticks. Okay. Now, the alert said long above 164.10. Which for us, we got to bump it up a tick, would be 164.11. Ooh, that's a hard stop right there. We're going to have to calculate that. Okay, and so the other side was short below 163.05. 163.05. Okay, and the alerts went out at 2 a.m. So, yes, the only market that gave us no opportunity to earn a profit today would have been the bonds. Okay, one tick triggers us in, and then we only look for four ticks in the bonds, and we only risk four ticks. Everything else, we risk eight ticks. Now, one could have done this. Let's see what it brings. Okay, the alerts came out at 2 a.m. Where are you? Oh, there we are. Okay. Now, in order to do this, you have to find the midway point. And so I'll need a calculator for that. 164.11 minus 163.04. Divided by 2 equals 0.53. Okay, plus 163.04 equals. All right, so now we got a number. 163.7. How did I mess that up? Oh, because there's 32 ticks. Oh, we're not working with 100. Okay. Well, we can kind of eyeball. You got to get the midpoint. Okay. You got to do the math. You got to figure out where the middle of the road is. Because we only take short trades below. We only take long trades above. Pretty obvious to the naked eye that this is above the midpoint. Price pulls away, price pulls back, up close by the open of this candle, and you could have got four ticks on the way up to that. Okay? Now, you used to hear me say on this radio show that I think using that indicator right there in conjunction with the concierge alerts is the more clever decision. People kept hammering me with, I just use the numbers. I just use the numbers. And so most of the recaps I've done of late have been with just the numbers. Trust me, when you put the indicators on there, it gets simpler and the goal comes quicker If you go back to November 23rd and before that, you'll see me doing recaps with the indicators. But since then, since most people seem to be of the mindset that they'd rather just trade the alerts without the indicators, I'm catering to that desire. And it makes it much simpler on me to do the recap, that's for sure. So there's no right or wrong way. There is. The right way is the way that works best for you, that helps you to be profitable. That is the right way. All right, let me check, see if there's any other questions in the chat box. Where's the link for the book? Okay, Michael, I'm going to put it in one more time in the chat box where you just typed in your question. http://audibletrial.com/CFRN. There we go. Send to all. There we go. It's right in the chat box there for you. Okay? Now, remember, yes, that is correct, Jeanette. Now, Tim, a parallel. It is a gamble to go into business while it is perceived being an employee is safe. The Bible refers to a business owner as master and the employee as servant. Ah, that's very interesting. I had not thought of it in that manner, Tim H. Let me read this again. Many consider it a gamble to go into business, while it is perceived that being an employee is safe. The Bible refers to a business owner as the master, an employee as a servant. And yes, many people approach life that way. It's very much a part of the Japanese culture. The entrepreneurial spirit that is alive and well in America, not so much so in Japan. Now, that may have changed since I was there. I was there in the late 70s, early 80s, and for hundreds of years preceding my short 17-month visit, it was a most honorable thing to be a company man, to be an employee, to go to work for one company as a young man and to stay with that company and to work as hard as you possibly could for that company your entire life. That was considered in that culture to be very honorable. To have some crazy idea and run out and start your own business, goodness, your family might disown you, because it was not considered the honorable thing to do. Thank God for America and the entrepreneurial spirit that I can own my own company. I mean, that you can own your own company, that you can do that which brings you pleasure, that you have a passion for, that you excel at. You can do the very thing you love the most and get paid for it. Is it possible we've already crossed over? Is it possible we're knee-deep in heaven already? Not that this world is without its troubles and woes, because Lord knows there's a plenty. But remember this, to whom much is given, much is required. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now it's the weekend, so please spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. But thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.